was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound at the below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The anthem, brother. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness, do I have? Oh, Lord, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Some of the things that we talk about here on this show at this time, when we talk local things, there are always a national connection. Always a national connection. The battles that we fight sometimes in St. Louis may seem small when compared to the rest of the world, but know this, oftentimes, more often than not, they are a reflection of the same types of battles that are going on, percolating along throughout this entire nation. Not too long ago, I had brought you the story of the struggle going on up in, racial illiterate, I'm talking about race illiterate. I'm talking about Jeff Smith and his desire to, I'm going to join the Black Caucus. The answer was no. No, you're not. And while that seemed for some to simply be one of those things that, what do they call it, inside baseball, just what's happening in one state capital, in one state. We have that same type of ideology, same type of world view that we really need to have a conversation about. And let me take you to Tennessee. Many, many, many of you know about the race of Harold Ford, who ran to the right of Attila the Hun in order to be the first black senator out of Tennessee since Reconstruction. the last photographs of him after he lost the election is him standing and talking to some white guys right in front of a Confederate flag. I think that kind of sums it up for the man Harold Ford is. But what many of you may not know is that, oh yeah, Harold Ford was a congressman, gave up his congressional seat to run for the Senate. Who won Harold Ford's congressional seat in a largely, mostly, hugely black congressional district? Why, it's a white Tennessee Democrat, Stephen I. Cohen. And guess what he ran on? If elected, I will become the first white member of the Congressional Black Caucus. Huh? Jeff Smith have a clone? Well, let's talk about this when we get back. Stay with me. My name is Liz Brown.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Minister Rogers, host of Radio UFO. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests. I've had UFO investigator and coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Dennis Balthaser. I've had Sam Marantos, director of the Illinois Mutual UFO Network, and Felix Clairvoyant with the Raelium Movement, the scientific organization that was involved in the first human clone. Tune in every Friday and Saturday night at midnight and listen to more Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations on AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Everything will be all right. He's sure of her, but she doesn't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me, huh? Stephen Cohn made a novel pledge. If elected, I will seek to become the first member, the first white member of the Congressional Black Caucus. And I gotta give you the title of this article about this story. I mean, this, the article: Black Caucus: Whites Not Allowed. Okay, provocative, right? So we need to talk about the fact that of what occurred as a result of Harold Ford running for United States Senate. A white guy by the name of Stephen I. Cohen won the seat. Huh. Huh. And so one of the first things that he said, and now this is a 60% black district. Did I tell you that Cohen was the only white candidate in the crowded primary field? Huh. So does that sound familiar? Does that sound like our Senate race here in the city of St. Louis? Huh. So what happened when Stephen I. Cohen went up to Washington, D.C., and wanted to be a member of the Black Caucus? Bill Clay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Bill Clay. Bill Clay. Remember Bill Clay? Used to be the congressman from the first congressional district. Bill Clay had circulated a memo. Now remember, Bill Clay is no longer in office. But he circulated a memo to the Black Caucus. And Bill Clay was the co-founder of the caucus. And he circulated a memo telling the members of the Black Caucus, it is critical that the Black Congressional Black Caucus remain exclusively African. The new chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, Carolyn Kilpatrick, also agreed. Lacey Clay, I guess he got his dad's memo too, said, Mr. Cohen asked for admission. He got his answer. It's time to move on. It's an unwritten rule. It's understood. And it is clear. There's a Peter Stark, who is white. 1975, he tried to become a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. Half of my Democratic constituents were African American. I felt that we had interests in common as far as helping people in poverty. They had a vote. I lost. They said the issue was that I was white, and they felt that it was important that the group be limited to African Americans. The question to me is, why do you have a question about the Congressional Black Caucus remaining black? Why don't you understand? Why don't you know why it is important to have the Congressional Black Caucus as an exclusively black entity? Why don't you understand that? Why don't you know that? I'm not asking for your feelings. I'm not asking that you be able to feel African people, because I ain't trying to get there. I'm asking, why don't you know the importance of entities and organizations that are exclusively black, that are about African issues? And that is really the question. Half my members are African. Okay. It seems to me that you would go to an entity like the Congressional Black Caucus and say, what do I need to do? Instead, what you're saying is, I need to be part of you. And therein lies the issue, the challenge, the question. That is the crux of the challenge of race issues in the United States of America. Because understand, a white male going to the Congressional Black Caucus and asking them, what should I be doing? Is a different thing. It's a submission. It is humbling yourself that African people know more than I know on this issue. Instead, we get folks like Jeff Smith who come and say, I need to be part of this so that I can also contribute to the stuff, the decisions that are made about African people. What the huh? Those are, and therein lies the issue. One is saying, oh, I got this. I got something to contribute to this. I'm going to be able to bring black issues to your organization and assessments that y'all haven't thought of. Simply because I represent some African people. I can know enough about African people by representing them. I have enough to contribute to be able to weigh into the African caucus. Ain't that some stuff? Think about that. One is humbling yourself, submitting yourself to the knowledge that African folks know more than you know. And until that moment is reached, America will never be able to, white America will never truly confront the racism in this country. It begins with an understanding, a submission, the act of humbling yourself before African people. And every message, every lesson, the lies that your teacher taught you, tells you that you never have to submit yourself to the understanding that African folks know more than you do. There is no message that comes out of any institution in this country that ever suggests that such a thing has to be done. And this act of this Stephen I. Cohen to conclude that by virtue of proximity to some African people, he has something to contribute to an all-African group about the issues of African people. No, you don't. Your job is to ask this organization what you're supposed to do. You've got nothing to contribute. And everything in America teaches folks, there is no such place like that. As a white man, there is no such place like that. My name is Liz Brown. Oh yeah, we got stuff to talk about. Let's get some more of it done. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 6 o'clock hour. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Highway K 379 is starting to stack up a bit. eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Big Bend. You can start to see some delays around the 44 overpass there. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through the 255-270 interchange. That's starting to build up as you're coming in from South County. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit onto the landing. No delays at this hour. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. You can see a little light traffic going on there. Westbound 55-70 at 3rd Street and Poplar Street Bridge. Expect no delays. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy, becoming partly sunny throughout the afternoon with a high in the mid-30s. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, partly cloudy till early morning, then becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of drizzle. Then on Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy, highs only in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 30 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 30 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. More riveting radio with Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Doc's Harley Davidson presents the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. It's Speedway bikes and quads modified to compete on ice. Don't miss all the heart-pounding action as ice racing superstars Anthony British Bulldog Barlow, James Demolition Man, and Charlie the Edge Venegas go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds on nitro-burning two-wheel rockets with steel-studded tires and no brakes at all. Also, don't miss the wheel-grinding action of the Unlimited Outlaw Quads. Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. Kids' tickets are just $5. Get your tickets today at MetroTix outlets, online at MetroTix.com, or charge by phone at 314-534-1111. It's the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour, brought to you by Doc Harley Davidson, Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Real life, on the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of dark water, too. And if that blue light goes too far, it's because of the things you are.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Huh. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee issued what that can only be called a wartime repudiation of the commander and chief. The vote, no, it was a non-binding measure. It was 12 to 9. But there was a Republican that joined up in this repudiation. And the Republican was a man by the name of Chuck Hagel of Nebraska. And he said, and I quote, "We better be damn sure we know what we're doing." Let me say that again. Chuck Hagel, Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican Senator Chuck Hagel, said, "We need to be damn sure we know what we're doing, all of us, before we send more troops in." Ouch. Is that a suggestion that Boy George doesn't? You think? Joe Biden said the legislation is not an attempt to embarrass the president. What, it's just a perk? That's just a perk out of it? And Biden goes on to say it's an attempt to save the president from making a significant mistake with regard to our policy in Iraq. The full Senate is fixing to debate on this. Senator Richard Lugar, that would be another Republican. "I am not confident that President Bush's plan will succeed." Ouch. Man, that must have hurt. Chris Dodd, Democrat, said that he really wanted to change the measure to say flatly that the number of troops in Iraq may not exceed the levels. Senator Norm Coleman, Republican from Minnesota, said he wanted to amend the legislation. Senator Russ Feingold, a Democrat, accused the Republicans of being reticent to support Bush's plan. He said that he would seek passage of legislation at a later date, cutting off funds for the war. Chuck Hagel said, out of the White House, and again, this is a Republican, "There is no strategy." Dang. "This is a ping pong game with American lives." Whoa. "These young men and women that we've put in Anbar province in Iraq and Baghdad are not beans. They are real lives. And we better be damn sure we know what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more lives at stake." At least eight other Republicans, at least eight other Republican senators now say they back legislation proposals registering objection to Bush's surge. What would that be, surge interruptus? Senators Gordon Smith, George Vonovich, Sam Brownback, who's running for the presidency. Senator Susan Collins said, "I wonder if the clock has already run out." Who supports Bush's plan? Rudy Giuliani. Which makes sense. He also supported the men that stuck the broomstick. Up an unarmed African man, so of course he was, of course he's careless with human lives. Oh yeah, did I mention he wants to be president too? How scary is that? How scary is that? "I believe we should give the president the support to do this. I want us to be successful in Iraq." What the hell? Ooh, Lord. Rudy Giuliani is president. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Ooh. Shut the door, turn off the lights, because we're done here if that happens. Shut the door, turn off the lights, and start looking out for broomsticks. It's over. It's over if Rudy Giuliani gets into office, huh? I want to share something with you, an observation, if you don't mind, with an observation. Can I ask you a question before I make my observation? Was it good for you, baby? Was it getting good for you, baby? Was it getting good for you, baby? Gasoline prices are going down, right? I actually saw 80 something cents for gas prices. Good and good, huh, baby? Just as it's getting good, of course, it seems that George Bush would hop in the middle and say, stop. Gas prices shot back up, 20 cents yesterday? Some places. Got to ask the question, why? Well, I think I have an answer for you. George W. Bush decided to double the emergency oil stockpile. Double it. This stops a slide in prices. Do you hear what I'm saying? And my question is, where is this oil coming from? Oil gained the most since September 2005 after the U.S. Energy Department said it will boost the strategic petroleum reserve to 1.5 billion barrels. China began to fill its reserves in October. India also plans to double its inventories. Is everybody stealing from Iran? And this U.S. move by Boy George will also alert China to be aggressive in building up their strategic petroleum reserve. Yesterday, crude oil futures jumped 4.7%, their largest one-day gain since September 19, 2005, when Hurricane Rita in the Gulf of Mexico threatened oil pipelines. Mild winter weather has sapped demand for heating fuels, helped pushing oil prices lower. So what did Boy George do? Help get those prices back up there. Prince Carter, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
Liz, I wanted to see, my memory ain't all that great sometimes, and I'm looking at this whole thing about this war. Originally, now help me out here. We went for weapons of mass destruction. That's what started the war, right or wrong?
That there wasn't a statement that there are weapons of mass destruction and
that's what got us over there, correct?
And that they're fixing to use them on us immediately.
Okay, once we found out that there was no weapons of mass destruction, rather than pull out, we decide, well, he was going to kill my daddy, so we got to get him while we're over here.
No, he tried to kill my daddy. Was an extra that was thrown into the reasons that we need to get over there.
Right, so that's personal, isn't it?
I don't care.
Okay, now, once there is no weapons of mass destruction, and we stay there, why are we going to send more people over there? I mean, over 3,000 folks have lost their lives. Mm-hmm. Their families affected.
Because the reason that we went over there is a evolving reason. First, it was weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I disagree with that, Liz. I think first it was the oil. They just used the weapons of mass destruction.
No, we're talking about what they told us, not what the real plan is.
Right.
Okay. What they told us was that they're weapons of mass destruction. Well, what they told us was Saddam Hussein's a dictator. What they told us was Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. What they told us is that he had weapons of mass destruction.
None of which has been found to be true.
No, not found to be true. None of it is true. Okay? None of it. Dictator? Okay. But weapons of mass destruction? Nope. Get fixing to use them on us right now? Nope. Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11? Nope.
You know, this is far-fetched, Liz, but I wish every family member that lost someone in that war would band together and file a wrongful death suit against George W. Because he is the one that initiated that. He is the reason those folks lost their lives. And it's all for nothing. They should not have even gone over there.
Fact, except when we get to the real reason, it's about stealing their oil. And that's why we are there.
And I'm looking forward to you coming. I'm trying to figure out why was all these black folks he trying to put in the front line at the State of the Union address. What was that all about?
Same old stuff. Saying something about himself. Trying to say something about himself that is not true.
Absolutely not true.
All right, now. Thanks for your call, Prince. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. That's what they have at Sears. That's what you get at Sears. And that's why you need to go to Sears. Get on down to Union and Natural Bridge. Sears. And when you get there, tell them I told you to.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Good day. This is Tumpay.
This is Balamle.
And this is Angel.
Join us for Wonderful, a new talk show that examines our relationships with God's self, male, female, parent, child, and work.
Tune in this Saturday, January 27th at 5 p.m. See you there.
Girl, they're not going to see us there. They're going to hear us.
Right.
Hear you there.
What?
Okay. Hear us there.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look. This is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClede. Be there.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget, please don't forget, please don't forget. We have a meeting on Tuesday, January 30th. What's that meeting? What is that meeting? That meeting is DESE is coming to town. That's the state. They want to hear from you about why you are in opposition to state takeover and the nullification of your votes through this three-person control of the St. Louis Public Schools. You need to be at this meeting. You need to be at this meeting. It is Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Where? At Harrisdale. Where? At Harrisdale. In the auditorium, the main auditorium, from 6 to 9. Be there on Tuesday. It is critical that you do, that you are, that you go. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me, 1-877-920-WGNU. Vernon, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Tell you, I'm happy. But I can't say I'm happy, but I'm healthy.
All right, now.
Hey, look, I got a little question. What is this retail outfit that has this logo that says B-O-D-O, like buy one, get one free?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just thinking. First, you have the State of the Union. Very thing this man has done, at least about helping or fixing. He talking about health care and education. Now here comes the bad, get one hand free. Here's Matt Blunt. He's talking about benefits for the college education. And all it is still based on him trying to get that Mahela money.
That's fact. That's fact.
Now, you know, we don't have to pay for each other's rights. But my question is, how can a rich man tell the poor man what he needs?
Well, you know, I don't think that being wealthy is preclude somebody from doing that. John F. Kennedy was a rich person. Okay, so
but you have to have intelligence on another measure.
One, you have to have intelligence. Two, you have to have integrity. Three, you have to have honesty. And four, you have to be about what is right.
And that's the real the two.
You know, I mean, you have to have all of those things. So being wealthy doesn't naturally preclude you from understanding, but the way that it works in this country is being wealthy most of the time does preclude you from even seeing any of that.
Well, okay, and I agree with everything you're saying. But in the first place, everyone knows our president doesn't have too much of what you call intellectual capacities in the first place.
He's dumb.
Said it rudely. I was trying to be polite.
Okay, you know, we don't have time. This ain't about politeness. Let's keep it real. He's dumb. He did poorly in school. He has a difficult time with the English language. He has a short attention span. He has ADD, and he's a bully. So, no, he's not a smart man at all. That's right.
Okay.
Bullies don't.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Vernon. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I want to ask a question. Did you hear about the kid, Sean Hornbeck, receiving a home or something?
Sean Hornbeck receiving what?
A home.
Oh, someone gave him a house?
Yeah, I see it on news where they were talking about some foundation were talking about giving him and his family a home. This was yesterday.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I think that's neat.
Yeah, I think it's neat. I have no problem with him getting home. All I want to say is, you know, where is all this generosity when it comes to people in New Orleans who don't have homes? You know, all of a sudden they can come out and give this kid a home and his family. Like, it's happening against the child and his family. But if it's so easy to give a child a home, you know, it's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people without homes in New Orleans.
I totally get that.
And
we have to honestly ask ourselves, what are the reasons that you feel compelled in this circumstance?
That's right.
And again, that's a beautiful thing. I think an act like that of generosity is a fabulous thing.
Right.
But where is that same connective thing with women who saw their babies float away from them and watch their babies die in New Orleans? Where is that lingering connective thing?
Yep.
Or that immediate connective thing?
That's the same thing I said. You know, like I said, this is definitely nothing against the home.
It's a beautiful thing. I think it's a beautiful act of generosity. It's a glorious act of generosity.
But, you know, when like I said, when you see, you know, the wealth that this nation has, especially individuals, you know, I think it's just, you know, I think it's sad, absolutely sad. Nobody can shut out. I don't care if it's $10,000 for $20,000 to get a home. I think it's sad.
It's a horrible thing.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Tim. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. You're on the wake-up call.
Ms. Brown, the truth will set you free.
Okay.
I found it very insulting for Matt Blunt to mention the St. Louis Public Schools in his union address. Each Ms. Brown, did you hear what he said?
Tell it.
He said that he's open for all options. He said the district is failing the black children in the St. Louis Public School System. I'm so sorry I hadn't been there. I would say, wait a minute, sir. You're the same man that said that Democrats vote where nobody wants to live, and you care about some black children? And you up here in Jefferson City with all these school districts up here by where you live at. Why are you so concerned with the black school district, man?
But wait a minute. There are failing white school districts that have been failing longer than the city of St. Louis. So, first of all, you're not caring about failing schools.
No.
Secondly, you sure as heck ain't caring about any failing schools with black kids in it.
No, ma'am.
Now, the only thing that has gotten your attention about the St. Louis public schools is the money that's in that district.
Hypocrite.
Of course not, because he's not trying to hear.
I sure would have cut his car off, Miss Rogers. I know you're a hypocrite. You stay right up in Jefferson City and fix these schools up here, brother. These poor white schools up here, and leave us alone.
There you go.
Dr. Borshaw got that covered, brother. You're a hypocrite.
Fact.
And Miss Brown, one more thing.
I mean, this is the man who cut off oxygen from Medicaid folks. He took the batteries out of electric wheelchairs. He took bedpans from folks. He cut medical care off for children. And check this out, we have a surplus. So this man got a full bank account, an excess bank account, and babies don't have health care, and people in wheelchairs don't have batteries for their wheelchairs, and people that need oxygen can't afford oxygen. Come on. And I'm supposed to believe that you give a horse's patoot
about some black kids
in this school district? Shut up and sit down.
Thank you, Miss Brown. And like I said, he's the same one that said Democrats vote where nobody wants to live. You stay up in Jefferson and run that stuff up in there. Fix that stuff up there, Mr. Blood. Miss Brown, two more things. Who in the world, Bush came and fixed Iraq before he leave office? Who can be blamed for Iraq? And Miss Brown, keep your eye on the 26th Ward. Frank Williamson is running against a man by the name of Willis.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Jeff Smith. Well, the article I read is Willis supported Jeff Smith and Williamson supported Yabba Dabba Me. Of course, I hope you and Irene talk about that later on at the 7 o'clock hour. But, Miss Brown, Matt Blunt ain't nothing but a hypocrite and step in Washington because Dr. Borshaw is going to fix that, Matt Blunt. Have a nice day, Miss Brown.
Take care of yourself. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. Andrew.
Power is the people, power to the people, Liz.
Good morning.
Whatever happened to the Black Panthers, Liz?
They're still around.
Well, I think they ought to be running the Black Caucus because, black people need help. Because I think they represent black people, don't they?
The Black Caucus?
The Black Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm quite sure the Black Caucus is not representing black people. You're having black people suffering in a struggle like it is today. We need a different organization to run it.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Andrew. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Did anybody hear the Democratic response to Bush's State of the Union, where Webb said, "When one looks at the health of our economy, it's almost as if we are living in two different countries. Some say that things have never been better. The stock market is at an all-time high, and so are corporate profits. But these benefits are not being fairly shared. When I graduated from college," Jim Webb said, "the average CEO made 20 times what the average worker did. Today, it's 400 times. In other words, it takes the average worker more than a year to make money that his or her CEO, her boss, makes in one day. Wages and salaries for our workers are at an all-time low as a percentage of national health. Even the productivity of American workers is the highest in the world. Medical costs have skyrocketed. College tuition rates are off the charts." That was in the Democratic response. When have you heard that? When have you heard the truth being told like that in prime time and without being on a hostile talk show? Jim Webb also said, "The president took us into this war recklessly. He disregarded the warnings from the National Security Advisor during the first Gulf War. the Chief of Staff of the Army, two former commanding generals at Central Command, and many, many others with great integrity and long experience in national security affairs. We are now, as a nation, held hostage to the predictable and predicted disarray that has followed. Ouch. Ouch. Those were the words of Jim Webb in the Democratic response to the State of the Union address. We have so much business to tend to. Let's get some more of it done with Eye on the Loop right after this.
Yes, many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's a first for Ford, but not the kind the carmaker likes. It's in the financial tank. More from ABC's Dick Hafner in Detroit.
Ford's losses for the year, $12.7 billion, are the worst in Ford's 103 years in business. Ford lost $5.8 billion in the fourth quarter of 2006. Ford continues to lose money in North America, where slumping U.S. sales reduce Ford's share of the new car market. The company is burning through cash in a restructuring, which will close factories and eliminate thousands of jobs. Ford says it hopes to turn a profit by 2009. Dick Hafner, ABC News, Detroit.
Iraq and what to do there from here. That's what the Senate is focusing on again today, with more resolutions on the table and one already passed. Here's ABC's Jake Tapper.
The vote on the symbolic resolution was barely bipartisan, with the support of only one Republican, Senator Chuck Hagel, a Vietnam veteran and fierce critic of the war.
There is no strategy. This is a ping-pong game with American lives.
All the other Republicans on the committee refused to sign on to the resolution, but many expressed deep frustration with the president and opposition to the troop escalation.
Vice President Cheney, meanwhile, says the resolutions are a waste of time.
It is hard. It is difficult. It's one of the toughest things any president has to do. It's easy to stick your finger in the air and figure out which way the winds are blowing and then try to get in front of the herd. This president doesn't work that way.
The vice president on CNN. The president will be heading to Missouri today to push a health care tax break that would let taxpayers deduct the cost of private coverage. It was one of the domestic initiatives the president outlined in his State of the Union address. The Ad Council today will kick off a new campaign that's aimed to get teens to speak up if they feel uncomfortable with the way their friends are driving. That's not a problem if you ask 16-year-old Sam Ortolini.
If it was, like, really reckless driving, then I'd say something, but...
Otherwise, just deal with it.
Yeah, it's just not a problem.
This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
If you have a family history of heart disease, listen to what consumers say about Cro-Max.
I started taking Cro-Max as a mineral supplement once my mother was diagnosed with heart disease. My doctor said, keep it up because my blood work shows it's working.
Cro-Max Chromium Picolinate is patented for its nutritional benefits to help promote healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, increase energy, and fight weight gain. Take control of your health with Cro-Max. Look for the yellow and blue Cro-Max box in the vitamin aisle at fine drug, grocery stores, and super centers.
Man's best friend may get to belly up to the bar soon in one state. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
Washington State Senator Ken Jacobson is proud to be a dog lover. He thinks folks who feel the same way he does should be allowed to take Fido with them right into bars and restaurants.
Man and dogs have been together for 10,000 years, so we have this relationship in our DNA, and I think this is just an example where people like to go out and have a beer and have their dog with them.
To be allowed in, the pooches would also have to be well-behaved and on a leash, But final say on allowing dogs to make appearances inside would be up to individual business owners. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
AirTran Airway says it's getting overwhelming support for bumping a screaming toddler and her family off a busy flight. The company says it can't keep up with all the calls and the emails it's received saying that the crew did the right thing. AirTran offered the family free tickets for another flight. The family refused, demanding a refund. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a home video may become key evidence in a police brutality case. 21-year-old Christopher Davis and his grandfather, Leroy Noah, say that police went too far in a confrontation at their home in January of 2005. The video, shot by another of Noah's grandsons, showed an officer stepping on Davis with his full weight. The family is suing St. Louis County, claiming their rights were violated in the raid on their North St. Louis County home. Despite being handcuffed, Davis was never arrested. A call to the Crime Stoppers hotline led to the discovery of a missing Columbia woman. 25-year-old Dawn McClenahan was last seen driving her father's truck. A call to the St. Louis Regional Crime Stoppers led police to an apartment in East St. Louis where they found McClenahan. Her father, Norman, said she had battled substance abuse problems and is indebted to whoever made the call. In Crime Stoppers' first year of existence, the hotline has helped to solve several area crimes. Finally this hour, the Cardinals are awaiting a decision from right-handed pitcher Jeff Weaver. The team made a two-year offer to the free agent hurler and may learn this week if he will accept the deal. Weaver was the team's only starter to win in each of the three playoff rounds last year, including winning the World Series clincher over the Detroit Tigers. General manager Walt Jocketty says that he hopes to retain Weaver as a possible number two starter in the club's rotation. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Candy Bouquet at 620 North Skinker. For a bear hug this Valentine's Day, send the Teddy Bear Valentine gift basket from Candy Bouquet. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 70 between Cypress and Lindbergh. Look for slow traffic due to a disabled vehicle, and it's possible highway patrol is en route. It's blocking some lanes there, so just use caution. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge all the way back to 3rd Street. Look for some delays. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Big Bend. Look for some delays there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing looking good. Northbound Route 3, that ramp is looking good onto the PSB. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some delays. Eastbound 70 at 270 and St. Charles Rock Road, the traffic's building there. And northbound 270 at Dorset all the way in the 70, you've got the right exit lanes that are starting to stack up a bit. Westbound 64 at 15th and 5570 merge is on the move. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-30s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. And Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Currently, we've got clouds and 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 30 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the hour. But up next is Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. It's Eye on the Lou right here on Riveting Radio, the wake-up call on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air feel me, brother. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting. Hand-picked school board members. Up-and-coming elections. Recalls. Battles in Jefferson City. Knockdown dragouts at the Board of Aldermen.
Who's welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm here, of course, with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
My goodness, we have a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. We have aldermanic races. We have the March election to talk about. Candidates that are out there. What may happen with some of those candidates, how that's going to weigh in on elections. We have some goings-on in Jefferson City to talk about. We have something stuff to talk about as well. Let's kind of kick it off with what's going on in these elections, this upcoming March elections, because that's going to be a big deal.
Oh, yes, it is. And, of course, the top election is no other than the president of the Board of Aldermen.
Top of the food chain.
Top of the food chain.
Right now.
I mean, top of the food chain. I mean, we have... two Democrats vying for this seat, James Shrewsbury, the president of the Board of Aldermen, and Louis E. Reed, the president's sixth ward alderman, who is challenging Jim Shrewsbury.
And if I could just do a little quick story right now, because we can take our break and go come back to the rest of the races out here. There was a story that was just really shocking to me, but also underscores something, a story that you have told many times about Jim Shrewsbury and how he sees people and a kind of a meanness piece to Jim Shrewsbury. It has come to my attention that, as you well know, that the second item on the agenda is the prayer. That always happens at every Board of Aldermen meeting. And Jennifer Florida's son was in the hospital for his second brain surgery. And a number of alder people had gone to Jim Shrewsbury to put prayer on the list of things, prayer for Jennifer's son on the list of people to be prayed for. And Jim Shrewsbury said, hell no. Okay, I mean... That's what he said. No to a child being prayed for. What I found out was that 2 days before that, Jennifer Florida had endorsed Louis Reed, and her ward organization had endorsed Louis Reed. Is that a consistent action?
I mean, to me, it's not surprising. I mean, first of all, you see all of these things that are done just for form, like him calling in ministers from all over the area to say prayer. But in reality, I've seen this guy, I mean, mean-spirited stuff. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it on the show, about how kids from Mark Twain School who were demeaning themselves, I mean, they were just perfect ladies and gentlemen. I was recognizing them for being the most improved, and somehow, you know, that got past him, and he just started going off because people were scaring to get chairs out for them. And I told him he made them feel that they were unwelcome, you know, and I had to actually check him about it. And I told him, I said, there have been children down here who are different hue. In other words, there have been white children down here, and you haven't acted in this manner. Yet when children come from our community who this legislative body also belongs to them, you're treating them like they shouldn't be here.
He told this woman, no, I'm not going to pray for your baby, your 12-year-old son.
How cold can you be?
Who's under the knife at that moment in the hospital. He said, oh, no, I ain't going to do it. We're taking a break. We'll be back with this. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. Yes, indeed. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We're talking about the extraordinary cruelty of Jim Shrewsbury. If he won't let somebody pray, because he didn't even have to pray. He just had to let somebody else pray. If he won't let somebody pray for a 12-year-old child who's undergoing, a 12-year-old child who is the child of a colleague of his, that's undergoing brain surgery. Good googly moogly, what do you have coming to you?
And you know what's interesting about it is that historically, members of the board have asked for prayer for certain people, you know, for family members, for members of the board who have been ill, for family members. I mean, and if you really believe in prayer, and since you've made such an issue out of prayer at the board, and he has by bringing in clergy from various different denominations, then if you were really real about that, then you certainly, regardless of whether or not a person's mother endorsed you or not, you would be concerned enough about a child.
Doesn't that say that you're supposed to be putting all this stuff aside? This is about prayer for a 12-year-old child who could die. I mean, under the knife for brain surgery. That ain't no joke.
No, it's about...
It's not a tonsillectomy. It's brain surgery.
It's like, I don't care.
I don't care.
You know, I mean, that's demonstrated. I mean, you think about when we had to fight, and Lewis Reed and I was on Ways and Means together at this time, and we had to put together a group of North and South Side aldermen on Ways and Means to fight cuts that Jim Shrewsbury and Slay approved, taking money out of recreation budget. You know, and Dan Kerner was living at that time, and he was with us, and Lewis was vice chair. And we were able to put together a North-South group of aldermen to put this $500,000 back into the budget that Jim Shrewsbury had cut out, had agreed to being cut out of the budget.
And I think that it's important right now to kind of let people know, Irene, how important this race is.
It
feels like a sleeper race to some folks, but this is a very important race.
It's a very important race. We've got a lot of issues on the table. We've got redistricting right around the corner. This individual will determine the makeup of the automatic committee that will take up that issue. We have issues relative to appropriation of our tax dollars, as we know. I think Slay cut out the community education dollars, you know. Lewis Reed said, okay, but not in my ward. I'm going to spend my own block grant money for the community educational center in my ward. So we need someone who has a understanding of development, and also someone who I believe will not engage in this eminent domain abuse, mm-hmm. okay? And that's going to be very important. We also have the ballpark stadium deal coming up, and there are some things that could be fashioned to assist if that goes through. I don't know how that's going to turn out. But there are a lot of important issues. And one thing that Shrewsbury has demonstrated, number one, he has demonstrated that he does not have a legislative agenda for the entire city, mm-hmm. because basically he has allowed the mayor, allowed Francis Slay to basically set the legislative agenda for the city.
And what's interesting is the attempt that Shrewsbury has to define himself in terms of I am the opposition to Francis Slay. Nothing could be further from the truth.
It's untrue. All you have to do, and it's public information, you can go down and you can look at the votes on ENA. Most of the time, to be very honest with you, most of the time, all three of the members of ENA, they vote, you know, together. There have been occasions when Shrewsbury does this. He's kind of sharp at doing this.
No, very calculated.
It's calculated, but the word I use is sharp. You use calculated, I use sharp. You cut out something. That's my thinking. And he will pick issues that will be publicized, okay? And he will say that he's siding with Darlene Green against the mayor. But when you look at it, if you look closely at these issues in the final analysis, 9 times out of 10, he comes right back out flipping with the mayor. There have been some instances with respect to the budget that, again, we had to fight. You know, when ENA had approved cuts, say, to the health department, and a number of those individuals who lost their jobs, and these were necessary jobs to provide health care to our people, came from North St. Louis. There were members of Ways and Means, that's the budget committee for the Board of Aldermen that Lewis and I served on. Well, we put together the votes to say, no, we want people back in the budget. When, for example, I went to ENA to convince them of that, you know, okay, I'll vote with you all doing this. But you didn't take the initiative to do it initially. So you are not, he is not about looking out for the best interest of the city as a whole. He takes certain issues. I mean, look at, okay, big issue, baseball stadium. Darlene was out there fighting on her own to make the deal as good as it could get for the city, and Shrewsbury was not with Darlene.
But this is also consistent with the articulated position that Shrewsbury has about, okay, if it's 50-50, if it's a black-white issue, I'm not going to get in the midst of that. I'm not going to do anything irrespective of whether this issue is important to these
exactly.
cities in St. Louis. So if he does those types, if that is what he does in those circumstances, it is not surprising and it is consistent that he would also, on other issues, stay in a place where he's not going to have to make any decision, and let alone a decision that's important to one half north side of the city.
Exactly. And I'm glad you bring that up, Liz, because many people say, well, you know, Shrewsbury, after all, he has been real fair to us because he's made the committees on the board of aldermen 50-50. Give me a break. That does not empower North St. Louis. That empowers Jim Shrewsbury because it puts him in the position of being the vote that breaks the tie.
Absolutely.
In the event
Absolutely.
There is a vote along racial lines. People, I'll give you an example. Look at the civilian review bill. Okay, after it was gutted, then he jumped on after Terry Kennedy.
Where was Lewis Reed on that?
Lewis Reed from the very beginning was on the civilian review, civilian oversight bill, civilian review bill, whatever you want to refer to it as. He was with the caucus from the very beginning of this. So, and yeah, Shrewsbury jumped on later on after the bill was gutted, mm-hmm. you know, and after Terry Kennedy had worked very hard to pull his 15 votes together, then jumps on Shrewsbury, okay, on the winning side.
And, you know, another issue that we really need to talk about is the issue of the black firefighters, okay, because that is a question that people have about, for you know, people want to know where do the candidates stand with respect to the issues of the black firefighters and firefighters and white firefighters as well. Jim Shrewsbury, Lewis Reed.
Well, to be honest with you, to me, Lewis, in talking and issues that the black firefighters had, Lewis has always been with the caucus position, supporting mm-hmm. the black firefighters. It was Lewis Reed who wrote the letter for Sherman George, the first letter recommending that Sherman George be appointed as the fire chief. When issues have come down with respect to the firefighters, the black firefighters, fire versus Local 73, Lewis has always stood with the caucus position. I don't know of any instance where Lewis has not, and that is Lewis Reed, did not stand with the caucus position in terms of supporting fire.
And with respect to Jim Shrewsbury?
Jim Shrewsbury has kind of been, you know, not necessarily with the white firefighters, but not with fire either.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, again, where are the votes going to fall?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are the votes going to fall?
And
I think in this instance, Liz, and we've talked about this before on your show, this is an area, particularly with the fire department, that there is in need of some leadership to resolve
That's
some
exactly.
long-term
That's
issues
exactly
that have gone on
That's
between
exactly
the black
the
firefighters and the white firefighters. And I am hopeful that if Lewis is successful in his candidacy, that he will sit and take the hard stance and say, we need to work this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are issues of discrimination. We know the problems that exist. Let's sit down. Let's work this out in a fair and equitable manner for the black firefighters as well as the white firefighters. Now, some people say, well, I don't know. But Jim Shrewsbury hasn't taken that leadership, and that's the whole question.
I think that that's a very good point and a point that really needs to be underscored. Being the president of the Board of Aldermen isn't simply coming in, banging your gavel, having prayer, not for everybody, but having prayer, and carving out good things for where you live. It is a leadership position. If Darlene Green is out there advocating and taking leadership as the comptroller, she's not saying, I'm going to straddle the fence on this one, I'm going to see where the votes lie, and, you know, as much as I can't stand the job that Francis Slay has done, he is leading us to a bad place, but he's leading us, period. Jim Shrewsbury is the only person that sits on E&A that takes no leadership actions.
There's no leadership role.
And so that's a waste of a position.
It is, because this is a legislative body. The president of the Board of Aldermen is not just an individual who convenes the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has authority to appoint to certain boards, the airport commissioner, commission, and things of this nature, and many other commissions as well. But he also has a responsibility to assist in developing a legislative agenda, because this is a citywide office that addresses the entire city of St. Louis. And we have not seen, we didn't see that leadership when Francis Slay was president of the Board of Aldermen.
Absolutely not.
We didn't see that, we are not seeing that leadership with Jim Shrewsbury.
Absolutely.
And if you listen to what Louis Reed is saying, he is talking about a legislative agenda that addresses issues that are confronted throughout this city, and particularly issues that we are confronted with in North St. Louis. We need that. We need someone that says, say for an example, Alderman Troop indicated to me, he went to Shrewsbury and said, look, I'm having a problem with this department in terms of some services. Okay? Now, he's accustomed being from the state legislature. You got a problem with the department not taking care of services. You cut their budget.
Mm-hmm.
Shrewsbury said, I don't have nothing to do with that.
I don't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you know why? Because it doesn't impact the 16th Ward or South St. Louis.
And
because he doesn't have leadership for the entire city, and he's not concerned about the entire city, despite the fact that sometimes he pops up at some of the black Catholic churches in North St. Louis.
But he don't pray.
But he don't pray for everybody.
Don't pray for children.
Don't pray for children.
Doesn't pray
Does
for children.
Does not pray for children.
Okay?
Woo!
Children in the hospital under the knife.
Of your colleague. This isn't a kid. We don't know who this kid is. I mean, not only is this is someone, this is a kid that he has met. Jennifer's kids have been down to the Board of Aldermen. This is a kid that you have met. And you refuse to allow prayer for a kid that you have met.
He said hell no to prayer. Ooh, Lord.
Ooh, Lord.
You need to stay in those churches a little bit longer. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this hour. Westbound 70 at Cypress and Lindbergh. Look for a disabled vehicle, possibly blocking some highway, and patrol is en route, so expect slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Big Bend. Expect some delays around the 44 interchange. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the landing. Northbound Route 3 is starting to stack up on the top of that ramp as you approach Poplar Street Bridge. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Mason Road, look for some delays. And northbound 270 at Dorset into the 70 interchange, you've got slow traffic in the right lanes as you get off on Highway 70. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Today, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, high in the mid-30s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, partly cloudy through early morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Chance of drizzle with a low in the lower 30s. And on Saturday, cloudy, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Currently, we have 28 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 29 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou, Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, how many contested races do we have in March?
On the north side? Basically four.
Okay.
It looks that Dionne Flowers is getting a pass in the second ward. She's not contested. In the fourth ward, that's going to be proved to be, I think, a very hotly contested race.
O.L. Shelton
and Sam Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the committee race that was pretty close
mm-hmm.
there. And it's my understanding I'm hearing, although I have not been able to substantiate it, that the committee people are actually going to be supporting Sam Moore,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit surprising. I thought that the committee people and O.L. Shelton had mended their fences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting. Then we move on to, I guess, what, the 18th ward?
Yeah.
18th ward, that's going to be interesting. I guess Bill Haas says this is an opportunity for him to get his name out before he's filed for the automatic seat. And I guess he said, in case I don't win that, he's running for the Board of Education.
Perennial
candidate
mm-hmm.
for sure.
And how's the response of him knocking on doors in the 18th ward been? What have you heard?
I have not heard anything about. laughter. I mean, people are kind of laughing about it.
I've had heard that when he's knocked on the doors of some folks, they're like, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
What are you running for now?"
Okay. Okay, so we have
that. I mean, most of the people that I've talked to in the 18th ward is like kind of a joke, and that's not meant as any offense to Bill. That's just the reception that people have had since he's running, since he tends to file for so many offices. Now, the 22nd ward, this is going to be a hot one. Jeffrey Boyd and Jay Ozier. As you may recall, I think it was six to eight or nine votes that
mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Boyd beat Jay Ozier. So we're going to have a somewhat of a replay of that. It's interesting. Someone called me on yesterday saying, "Ooh, look at all of these contractors' trucks outside of Jeffrey Boyd's office." Man, I said, well, I guess getting facade money in the 22nd ward paid off.
One of the things that we need to do, and I would like to take the time to do next week, is to go through some of the campaign reports, the finance reports of these folks, to see who has money at this point and where they got money from. And I think Jeffrey Boyd's reports are going to be the most interesting. Now, the limits came off in January of how much money people can give. So I wonder if it applies to, I guess it does apply now to these aldermatic races of how much money people can give.
I guess, I don't know. I've heard of different interpretations.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to prove to be a very hotly contested race, I believe, the race between Jay Ozier and Jeffrey Boyd.
So coming to the south side.
We got to finish the 26th.
Oh, that's
I mean, that's
right.
going to be a very,
that's
a hotly
yeah,
contested
a hot
race. Frank Williamson, is being contested by Mr. Willis.
H. Lee Willis.
Mm-hmm. They're out. They're both out there knocking on doors and getting their literature, getting their campaign signs. It seems like blue and gold is a popular color this year.
Apparently,
and
so.
I don't know. If, I don't think Frank went to Beaumont. I know Lewis said his school colors were blue and gold, high school colors. But that is interesting.
And then we also have a special election in the 19th,
special
election, uncontested race.
Uncontested race. Marlene Davis, who is now presently the head of the St. Louis Housing Authority.
Yeah.
But it looks come April, unless there's an independent that runs in the 19th ward. And it looks like Marlene Davis will be the alderwoman from the 19th ward.
Now, do we have any hotly contested races on the south side?
Tom Barr said, you can recall me, but I can file this time. Tom Barr said, I'm going to kind of come back on my donkey.
A couple more races, and he's going to be building another bill, huh?
At least he's running for the same
seat.
Well,
fair enough.
You got to give it to him. I mean, he's running for a seat that he occupied for some time until he was recalled, and then Mr. Waterhouse defeated him. So now we have a race head up between he and the present alderman, Mr. Waterhouse, who was involved in the recall efforts against him.
Yeah, and wasn't Waterhouse filling the unexpired term?
Exactly.
So now this is for the big deal, for the full deal.
And this is for the full term,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's gonna be a hot one.
But that's the only one on the south side, isn't it?
Yeah, let's see. Oh, no. Hey, the Republican. In the 12th ward, Mr. Heidert has an opponent.
Okay.
And the opponent is Matthew Browning.
And wait a minute, a Republican opponent.
A Republican opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Browning, who, as you know, is a former St. Louis police officer. Matthew is I like him. He's a fine young man. He's determined, and I don't know whether I think Heidert is going to have to campaign, which is something he hasn't had to do in the recent past. He's been the lone member of the Republican member of the Board of Aldermen for some time, and now he has a young man challenging him. So I think that's going to be rather hotly contested as well.
And so how do these shake out in terms of impacting on the president of the Board of Aldermen race, given the fact that there are not a whole lot of contested races out there? There are some.
You know, there's a hotly contested race in the 6th ward. Mm-hmm. That is a hotly contested race. And there are three.
And that's to fill the seat of Lewis Reed.
Right, and that's going to be for a full term.
Right.
This is the odd wards, elections that are coming up here.
Even.
Mm-hmm. Even ward elections that are coming up here. So that's going to be a very hotly contested race as well. I think it's going to figure in terms of turnout. And it's kind of difficult to gauge it, mm-hmm. how it is, because I've been looking at numbers for Shrewsbury, and there are some wards that are going to be strong with Shrewsbury, but he certainly hasn't carried the central quarter.
Mm-hmm.
There are other sprinklings in South St. Louis that don't seem to be too excited about him. So I think it's a chance certainly for Lewis Reed to make some inroads, you know, south, but secondly, he definitely has to intensify and carry North St. Louis. He's going to have to carry at least 80% of North St. Louis. So then it's going to be important that the vote in North St. Louis is critical, I believe, to him winning.
Mm-hmm.
I see that he is making inroads in South St. Louis. However, you know, it's his base, even though he's coming out of a ward that's kind of central quarter South St. Louis, his base I view it as being really North St. Louis.
And it also, these are going to be, because this is a March election, it's not the president's election, there's no stem cell
exactly.
on the ballot, there's no minimum wage on the ballot, this is straight up almost a, in some respects, an insider politic type of a race, and it's March. And it's not historically a time where people turn out. So it's going to come down to the loyal, regular voters.
I think it is. I think it's going to come down very definitely to the loyal, regular voters. As you know, the last citywide municipal race that we had was the mayoral race in 05. And, you know, we had a rather dismal turnout at that time.
Mm-hmm. But great numbers. Great numbers. I mean, when we look at the numbers of votes that you got and the numbers of votes that Francis Slay got. And I think maybe that's another question, too, to you, Irene, about assessing how this is going to go. Because if Francis Slay spent millions of dollars on that race.
I think $1.2
million. $1.2
million
on that race. So he didn't get the turnout, that there was just like a non-turnout for this person. Can we expect some of that from South St. Louis with respect to the Shrewsbury race?
I think so, because I don't know anyone that's excited about Jim Shrewsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't have any idea how much money he will be spending. I guess he's saving his money to do television ads or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know there'll be one less person on that television ad because the African American female that worked for him, she left, she quit, so she certainly won't be in his ad.
And we know that Jennifer Florida's son won't be in the ad as well. Okay, we will be back. This is Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with me. The place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands: Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics: TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
If you find yourself fighting the back-to-work blues Sunday nights, try a different way to wrap up your weekend: the Bible Way. Tune into the broadcast from the Bible Way Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Sunday nights at 9:30 on AM 920 WGNU. The powerful preaching of Pastor Barclay Bailey and the inspiring music of the Bible Way Choir will give you a much-needed faith lift to help you start your work week. That's Pastor Barclay Bailey and the Bible Way Church broadcast, Sunday nights at 9:30 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
We'll be right back.
goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. Let's go to Jefferson City for a moment here, please. Can we go to Jefferson City for a moment here? Going's on. We cannot leave Jefferson City out in our assessments of the things that are going on. I want to tell this particular story that I know that you have another update on what's going on up there. Everybody knows that, or should know, and I also want to take the time to remind people about the meeting on Tuesday. It is critical, and it's critical that we attend this meeting on Tuesday, the 30th, at Harris Stowe. That Desi's coming to town. They want to hear from people about why they oppose the state takeover and then the Nullification Act with a three-person appointed board over the St. Louis public schools. So people need to be at that meeting on Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Harris Stowe in the main auditorium. That's a critical, critical meeting about education. So in speaking about education, one of the ways that I think it's important that people also address the issue of education is to work through the education committee up in Jefferson City. And every year, the committee members are different. And Maida Coleman, as the chairman of, or as the minority leader in the Senate, had the authority to make committee appointments. And baby boy Jeff Smith just knew that he was just going to get every committee that he wanted, and he wanted to be because he's a charter school opponent. I mean, a charter school proponent, and also I don't know where he is on vouchers. I know, and also we know what he did with Danielle Whitmore Smith, that he stayed in the cut for a long time before he came out and said anything in opposition to her, and his opposition was not all that. Not as tough as I think that it should have been. So, Jeff Smith just knew that he was going to get this position, and Maida made all of the appointments to it, and then Maida went and lobbied for an extra seat on that committee. And Jeff Smith was going around with his chest puffed out. Now, mind you, Jeff Smith, who tried to block Maida, and I mean, this is the man who ran on black stuff, right, who tried to block Maida from keeping her job as the minority leader in the Senate. He was going around telling folks, got this, I got this, I double got this, because Maida was working for an extra seat, and he just knew that the woman that he tried to get rid of was working this hard to get him this extra seat. Maida appointed herself. Ouch. Ouch. How'd that taste? How'd that taste?
Well, I mean, Let's be real, Liz. Now, come on. Jeff Smith, he didn't think that African-Americans who had experience in the legislature were qualified to go from the House to the Senate. So what makes you think that he didn't think that, you know, nobody else was qualified to have that position?
How would Maida
him?
Be more qualified than him? How would Senator Rita Days be more qualified than him? How would Yvonne Wilson be more qualified from him? He looked in the face of African women all across the city and said, bump y'all. I know what's better for y'all, and that would be me.
Just because they've been in the legislature for some time, and he's just been there for 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. This is the man who didn't go to Washington.
That's right. So. Yeah, and apparently he didn't go to the Education Committee either.
Some people just take such joy. It was reported to me that the House last Thursday had a vote on some rule changes.
Okay. What kind of rule changes?
A rule change that basically took away from the Democrats, the majority, the head of the majority, which is the Democrats in the House in Jefferson City, the right to appoint to standing committees. This was something that the Republicans pushed.
Wait a minute. Say that. Slow down.
Just as Maida, say in the Senate, Maida as the head of the minority party, she gets to appoint to folks to standing committees. Well, apparently, as it was reported to me, in the House, the Republicans say, you Democrats ain't gonna report, will not name
Shut
individuals.
Shut up.
But what was even more interesting was those who voted with the Republicans to strip the Democrats of this. And there were three African Americans, it was reported to me, that participated in voting with the Republicans.
Well, and let me just got to repeat this and underscore this for a second here. The Republicans said, we want to change the rules so that the Democrats, who've always, whenever it's majority-minority, Republicans point their people. They have one person to appoint their people. Democrats have one person to appoint their people. The Republicans are, this is kind of an enslavement, colonialistic mentality. The Republicans said, no, we don't even want the Democrats to decide what Democrats they appoint to committees, standing committees. So we want to change the rules so that Democrats cannot appoint the Democrats that they want to the standing committees. That's what this vote was about.
That's my understanding.
And there are three black folks that said, sounds good to me. Who would that be?
It's sad to say the majority of them are from the city of St. Louis.
Are they all male or female?
They are all male. They are all male. Ted Hoskins from St. Louis County.
Who's in his last year.
Right.
Okay.
Rodney Hubbard, his last term.
Last term.
Rodney Hubbard, mm-hmm. who's in his last term. And I'm very sad to say, my state rep, who just began his first term.
Was this possibly his first vote? His first vote?
That was his first vote.
His first vote to take away votes, take away power from the party that he's a member of.
No, well, you know, he ran as a Democrat.
Yes, he did. And do we know if it was a close vote or not?
I don't know. I was hoping to have the opportunity on yesterday, but I was working on something dealing with Jeremy's. Stop holding your head, man.
No.
Holding your head.
Talib El Amin, in his first little vote as a 72-hour representative, okay?
I know what they swore.
But let's just try to make it real here. First vote out the box, he votes with the majority, with the Republicans. First thing. Secondly, first vote out the box, he votes in a way that disempowers the party that he is a member of. And thirdly, he votes in a way that supports a colonialistic view and attitude of the Republican Party particularly to black folks. Oh, no, we decide where y'all going to be.
Yeah, that's my understanding. There were five Democrats, and three of the five were from metropolitan St. Louis area.
So, you know, I guess we got to ask the question of what they think they're going to get out of that. They think that they're going to get appointments to committees that they want to get appointed to. Is that what they think?
Or they may have been promised something else. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their thinking is. Like I said, I get the information from individuals that there. I look on the website to find things. You know, I'm not totally familiar.
Well, there is no website that says inside the mind of Talib El Amin. Okay, so there's no place to go there. So we're going to have to gather information all over the place. But he voted in a way that first vote out the box is with the majority to disempower Democrats at the expense of African people. Because I don't, what do African legislators have coming toward them in terms of committee appointments? Just think about that. Can you talk for a second, Irene, about how important it is to have certain people on certain committees?
Sure. I mean, it's very important to have certain people on certain committees. That's why, you know, going into to the Board of Aldermen, and I'm not knowledgeable. I'm not going to even act like I'm knowledgeable about the terrain in Jefferson City in this regard. But generally speaking, you know, you have an idea of a particular agenda that you're going to try to accomplish for your constituency. And you're being on specific committees would assist you in some of the things that you need to do. So it's important what committee you serve on.
So it's going to be fascinating to see when the committee appointments come out, how, I mean, because I guess that is a Machiavellian power grab by the Republicans.
Exactly.
Because if you want legislation coming out of a committee and you're concerned about it being killed or or stopped or changed or altered, or even you've been told about certain legislation coming out of a committee, you decide the members that are on there, you can stop a lot of that stuff. You can stop opposition, you can stop changes, and you can even stop word on the street about pieces of legislation.
Very, very definitely you can. You know, but it's not surprising. It's my understanding that the voucher legislation, that the so-called tax credit legislation that the Republicans are going to be pushing, we will probably see perhaps these same individuals supporting the legislation.
First vote out of the box is, take away my power. Take away my power. Irene J. Smith. You know, you're shaking your head. I'm shaking my head. And we haven't even got through the election yet. We got a lot of stuff to do. Irene, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning.
You're welcome, Liz.
And I will see you next week.
See you real soon.
Okay.
Since you have other duties on Saturday now. But don't forget the Institute.
Of course not.
The Saturday Morning Urban Institute, Urban International, International Urban Institute at 1020 North Taylor. We will be there from 9 to 11. Come on out. We have work to do.
Absolutely.
We have a big meeting coming up on next Tuesday.
All right.
With respect to education, the Education Committee is going to be working on some things, and the Political Committee is going to be working on some things. So come on out.
Absolutely. I'll be back. Stay with me.
More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The way forward for Ford is apparently right into the tank. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Ford knows it's in trouble.
Every day we are building a much stronger Ford Motor Company and a more secure future.
On its website, it has been presenting its Way Forward recovery plan. It closes 16 plants, cuts tens of thousands of jobs, and aims to make the century-old auto manufacturer profitable in 2009. For now, Ford is losing a ton of money. This morning's earnings announcement set a record. Ford lost nearly $13 billion in 2006, half of it in the fourth quarter. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Senate Democrats are hoping to line up Republican support for an anti-Iraq war resolution that could come up for a vote next week. It has the backing of one GOP so far, Chuck Hagel. Virginia Senator John Warner is proposing another one.
Our resolution does not provide for a reduction in any way or suggested of the level of U.S. forces there now. It does not provide a timetable. It simply urges the president to consider all options.
The president's pick to command the troops in Iraq, meanwhile, Lieutenant General David Petraeus could get full Senate confirmation today. The president is hitting the road again. He's heading to Missouri today. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
To promote the domestic initiatives he offered to Democrats in his State of the Union speech, President Bush spends a few hours at St. Luke's Hospital in suburban Kansas City. He'll be talking with doctors and local business owners about health insurance. The president suggests a tax deduction to encourage families to buy coverage. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Stick thin is fine, but the organizers of London's upcoming Fashion Week say the models that'll walk the catwalk better be healthy. They say while they won't set a weight or body mass index limit, they do have a responsibility to promote a healthy body image. This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver Package on us. That's a Motorcraft Synthetic Blend Oil Change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Only at your dealership.
I can help. I got too strong. I can help.
We're better. We're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Well, we all know when it comes to filing our income taxes, there's usually not too much to celebrate. But you might give a little cheer when you learn this. ABC's Sherry Preston has the story.
Taxes, as we all know, are normally due on April 15th. But that falls on a Sunday this year. And the next day, April 16th, is Emancipation Day, the day Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves in the District of Columbia. It's a legal holiday there, and taxpayers in Washington, D.C. were already going to get the extra day to complete their taxes. Now, though, the IRS says holidays observed in the nation's capital have an impact on the entire country, so we will all have two more days. Taxes aren't due until April 17th this year. Take advantage of it. It'll be 4 years before this little calendar quirk happens again. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
There are some interesting findings in a new book called Homeland Insecurity, American Children at Risk. It found kids who grow up in so-called red states are more likely to get inadequate medical care, be abused or neglected, or incarcerated by their teen years than those reared in so-called blue states. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
From the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ferensmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, recent newspaper interviews with accused kidnapper Michael Devlin are generating controversy. The New York Post, which published the interviews, said Tuesday that its correspondent properly identified herself as an employee of the newspaper. Devlin's lawyers say Susanna Callahan misled Devlin by identifying herself as a reporter for a university newspaper. A Franklin County sheriff said Callahan signed in as a friend of Devlin's. Devlin's lawyers are seeking a gag order to keep the Post and others from reporting information from the interviews. An area high school is investigating a potential threat. A vague message was found scrawled on a restroom wall at the Mary Institute Country Day School in Ladue on Friday. A spokesperson says that Ladue police had been summoned to the school. When school officials put the word out by email and phone yesterday, many parents pulled their kids out of school early. However, they expect a normal day today. Finally this hour, an East St. Louis school board made a controversial decision in naming one of its schools. On Monday, the board voted to honor former Washington Park Police Chief James Avant by renaming the city school after him. Several years ago, federal indictments revealed that Avant used his position to help protect a multi-million-dollar gambling ring and accepted bribes. The board had voted to name the school after Dr. Leroy Duxworth, the first black superintendent in East St. Louis, but renamed it after Avant's friends demanded the change. The board is under pressure to rename the school again for Dr. Duxworth. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this morning. Northbound 55 at Union and Bayless. Look for slow traffic due to an accident. Shoulders blocked as one is on Union and one is on Bayless, actually, so you've got two accidents up there. Southbound 270 from 70 through Olive, look for delays due to an accident on the left shoulder is blocked. And south of Page, expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic into the landing is slow. Eastbound 70 from Bryan through 79, look for some delays there. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant, you've got a slow move into the North County area. Northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into 70. Look for slow traffic in the right lanes as the exits are blocked this hour. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue, the 5570 merge. Look for some delays. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for a slowdown on that ramp. Westbound 5570 from Exchange all the way into the PSB. It is slow. Northbound 270 at 44 through Big Bend. That is slow around that interchange. Eastbound 40 approaching Spady through McKnight, you can expect some delays, and Timberlake Manor through Mason, you can expect some delays on eastbound 40. And eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge through 270, look for some delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, with a high in the mid-30s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. And Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies and 28 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 29 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air.
Tonight, remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Thursday, and it is 8 o'clock, so that means it's time for Justice for Reggie. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good.
So what are we going to do this morning?
Well, one of the things that, and this is based on feedback from a year's worth of shows, is that people miss getting the chance to call in and dialogue with us, ask questions. And also, we heard from people about the need to process some of this information, because sometimes this is some heavy stuff.
Intense.
It's intense, mm-hmm. It's heavy, and...
And data filled.
And data filled. And so it's like, give us a breather and help us debrief this stuff, and as you always say, connect the dots. And so what we're going to try to do this year is to at least free up one Reggie Thursday a month to do that and to look at the previous shows, do some debriefing, and then look ahead and really try to bring it all together for our listeners.
Mm-hmm. So this morning when we began this process of a little deconstruction, a little debriefing, a little connect the dots, what are some of the topics that we're going to talk about?
Well, we want to look at what's been happening in the moratorium. We also had some legislation introduced in Missouri, mm-hmm. Both for abolition and for moratorium, so we want to talk about some of that. There's some upcoming activities in St. Louis that are supporting the moratorium efforts. There's a lobby day that will be happening also in a couple of weeks. So we really want to get people geared and to go into the House with some momentum,
mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the big House in Jeff City. And I really think we can do that. I heard some of the unfortunate things that are going on when I listened to the previous segment with Eye on the Lou. But I still think that people, we have some momentum going in around the moratorium, and we need to work that, and we need to make sure that we get our legislators on board with this. And so despite, you know, some of the backward things I heard this morning, I think we can push forward.
And we must push forward because there is a legislative solution to a lot that ails us. There is a community solution to some things that ails us, and there's a monetary solution to the things that ails us. So we need to focus on, I mean, there are some opportunities to focus on the legislative piece of that, and simply because, and you also just have to, like, fix your mind into the strategy of this and to the long view of this. It's not a microwave solution. There are legislators out there that we can work with. There are legislators that we can push on. There are legislators that we can get around to get what needs to be done, but there has to be participation, and we're going to talk about the ways that people can participate in some of this. It gives people, like they do in school, specific tasks and specific things to focus on.
Absolutely, and based on the fact that Desi conceded to hearing the input, I think that lets us know that, you know, the power of the people, when we demand, you know, and organize, then we can get results. And so,
and even behind the Desi hearing piece, the fact that the committee, when they had the opportunity to go ahead and try to inflict this nullification piece, this three-person appointed group over our board, they didn't do it. That's another win because of participation by folks.
Absolutely.
We have to take a break. Stay with us.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back. Can we, before we get to some of the things that are going on, can we remind people of why we gather here every Thursday at 8?
Well, at this point, we really are gathering here to save the life of Reggie Clemens. Reggie is the lone person left out of the chain of rocks, young black men who received the death penalty. One of them, Antonio Richardson, is off death row and has life without the possibility of parole because of both his age as well as his mental retardation. And unfortunately, Marlon Gray was executed in 2005 of October. So Reggie is the lone person, the lone defendant, and I think it's really incumbent upon us not to let the truth die. And so we must raise up the issue and the truth and try to get to the facts and talk about, Reggie, talk about the Chain of Rocks Bridge. And I know that people have been doing that because when we're out there, folks say, yeah, I heard about that, or I listened to Liz's show, I know all about it. So I think we are making the inroads, and we really want to make this big push when we go to Jeff City with the legislation around the moratorium. So I think that people are feeling hopeful. We had a year of no executions in Missouri. We've done that before. We did it for a year and a half. And Jay Nixon started to get a little nervous and was about to file a suit. And so it's interesting, Liz, that he responded to Governor Blunt's State of the State Union. And most of these folks like Bush, I can't hardly stand to look at them as they're articulating their lies and deceit. So I went on the web to look at the full text of Governor Blunt. And one of the things I thought was truly disturbing, because I wanted to see if he had mentioned at all the death penalty. And here's the language that he articulated as he talked about the death penalty. Murders inflict incomprehensible pain and suffering when they take the life of a police, sheriff, corrections officer, or state trooper.
Dang.
So therefore, I'm going to push that whenever somebody kills these people, they automatically, it's a mandatory death sentence. So
Jesus God.
This is, and the last time I looked, all these people were human like anybody else. But based on the nature of their job, the pain is already incomprehensible. The suffering is already off the charts. So it's a mandatory death sentence for these folks if you kill them.
And it also gets to the discussion of whose life is valuable and whose life
there
is not valuable. I've always been concerned about any types of laws, particularly criminal laws, that give special attention to one type of people. I've been opposed to the laws that say that if you hurt this type of a person, then there will be more punishment. And there's a danger in our society, given what the history of the police department has been with all walks of life, but in particular the community of color and particularly the community of African descent, that yet and still there is another thing that is out there that says that you better not do anything to this type of a person because the person that carries a gun, because the heavy hand of God will come down on you if you do anything to this person. They're not more valuable than anybody else that is out here.
This language and even thought is so offensive. I mean, people really need to be outraged that somehow their life is not going to be as painful if they are a homicide victim, that their loved one is not going to be as hurtful only because they're not a law enforcement person.
And then the sick and twisted piece of this that we have to also talk about is, okay, how do we show that you matter and that we love you? We go kill somebody automatically.
Right.
Well, there is an auto. That is the proof of our love and our support of you is we kill you without. Because by saying that it is an automatic death penalty doesn't take in. Takes out of consideration or takes out of play the opportunity for people to talk about if it would be in the best interest. There may be family members of police officers that don't believe in the death penalty. And you're taking away the opportunity for any kind of discussion about this because should the person who is driving a car and carelessly, let's say that they're talking on the cell phone, and they run into a police car and a police officer is killed. And the same person who says, gets up one morning and says, I'm going to go kill a cop, finds a cop and kills a cop. Should those people be treated the same way? Of course not. You have to. That's part of what the law is supposed to do. It's like taking away from judges their ability to sentence somebody. In the federal court, in the federal system, prosecutors decide what the sentencing guidelines decide what kind of punishment a person is going to get, irrespective of the facts of their case. So it's taking away that input that we're supposed to have as thinking, rational people. You can't have an automatic death penalty on anything.
Well, it's sickening. And the other scenario is, how about if you have a law enforcement person who's acting a fool, who may be drunk, who is assaulting you, and in self-defense, you do something and he ends up dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has happened with another law enforcement person when her boyfriend shot her in the face. Now, if she had to pull her weapon on him to defend herself, that would be an automatic death penalty for her. So,
and also, what about the police officer that kills somebody else? Does he automatically get the death penalty?
No, because his is always justified. I think we found that out with the Jeremy case. It's always justified.
And the other piece of this is it is such political pandering. This is nothing but a pandering act to demonstrate. Yo, down with the boys, down with your boys, down with your boys. You know, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to. And I'm sure Jay Nixon is like, oh, I'm right on that. I'm right on that.
Jay Nixon, in his response, mentioned nothing about the death penalty. No response whatsoever. He responded.
Now, how do we take that, Jamala? Do we take that as we did that? Do we take that as he didn't know what to say about this, and he's going to oppose it now that Matt Blunt has said it? Can we articulate a win out of the fact that he didn't say nothing about the death penalty? Because that has been his claim to fame now.
It has been his claim to fame, and he is probably a better politician. You talked about pandering. He's a better politician than Boy Blunt, because if Blunt looked at the country, he should know that the death penalty, the pendulum is swinging the other direction away from the death penalty. So here you have a young governor who's now imposing more conditions, more reasons why you should get the death penalty when everybody else is saying, I'm not too sure about this. There's too many situations where folks have been innocent. We've executed the wrong people. Life without parole sounds fine to us. So here's somebody that's even cutting against the grain of some of his own party members. The bill that was introduced last year and was introduced again this year is by Republican Bill Deacon. And he's got a host of other Republicans to come on board. Bill Deacon is a proponent of the death penalty. But what he's saying is, I agree we need to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. I agree that we need to study it. But here is Matt Blunt saying, whatever, let's add some more fuel to the fire here. So I just think that it shows that he's out of touch. I think that, you know, we don't know what Jay Nixon really believes, but he was smart enough not to jump in that fray.
And also, we do know, I mean, not about this, what Matt Blunt said, but we do know what Jay Nixon's position is on the death penalty, that he's always attempted to hop on the death penalty to ride to a successful election. And the fact that he didn't mention anything about the death penalty, I think that that's a good thing. And I think we did that. Okay?
Absolutely.
The pressure out here against the death penalty, the mess up of his office with the lethal injection, Dr. Death, all of this stuff, he didn't mention it. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
That's a big deal. Especially since we know he's running for governor.
Right.
But we'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 270 at St. Charles Rock Road in Olive. Look for an accident. Left lane just south of Page. Look for stop-and-go traffic there. Northbound 55 at Union and Bayless. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. One was at Union and the other was at Bayless. They both should be wrapped up by now. The accidents have been cleared to the side. Westbound Kingbridge traffic rolling into the landing. You can expect a little slowdown there mid-span. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some delays. Westbound 270 approaching 367 all the way into West Florissant. Look for some slow traffic. Northbound 270 in the 70 exit lanes. You can expect some delays there. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue to the 5570 merge. Look for a slowdown. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow at the top of that ramp. Westbound 5570 onto the PSB. Look for delays all the way back as you approach the exchange. Northbound 270 at 44 all the way up to Big Bend. You can expect some delays there. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. And then again from Timberlake Manor through Mason. Look for slowdowns. And eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge through 270. Look for a slowdown there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-30s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. For Friday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 40s. And Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 30s. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies. Our current temperature is sitting at 27 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 28 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? you might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and I want to take this moment to thank the folks, our sponsors, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. We really appreciate the support for this show. It's important that we have that in order to keep this show on the air, so we always want to thank the folks that are out there financially supporting us.
Absolutely.
So talk to us, Jamala, about some of the things that are coming up.
Well, a couple of things that are coming up. One, there's going to be a bus, we hope a couple of buses from St. Louis going up to Jeff City on Tuesday, February the 20th, and we're going to fill the first bus up, and we may have to charge a little bit for the second bus, but if you get on the first bus, you got your seat secured. But we will go down there. We will identify folks on the committee that will be here in the moratorium. We will be lobbying with our own legislators and really making the case that, you know, first of all, we're coming in there with some amount of strength. We have St. Louis was the 150th municipality to pass a resolution for a moratorium.
100%, everybody voted
unanimous. So we're going in there with that kind of momentum. We also are going on with every week there's been another state who's entertained or are starting to entertain a moratorium. Just recently, North Carolina, 30 assembly members decided that enough is enough. And they are asking that lethal injections be cease and desist forever. And so we already had Maryland, we had New Jersey, and of all states, Texas and Florida. So the pendulum truly is swinging away from it, and lethal injections has been the real flashpoint, because in most cases, Liz, not just Missouri, where we had Dr. Death, but in most cases, the same thing is happening. I was reading an article of someone comparing the U.S. death penalty to what happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, and the second time with his half brother. And you know, the Iraqi government was saying that we're going to try real hard the second time. We're not going to have all that foolishness and blah blah. It actually was worse the second time.
Somebody's head came off.
You know, rolled around in the bag. So this article was saying, no matter how careful you are, there's no way that you can have a state killing that's going to go okay.
Because what you're doing is not okay. You're murdering somebody.
There you go.
Okay. And the other piece of that with the Saddam Hussein execution, because I had some folks on the show to talk about what that meant and what that said and the message that we can pull out of that. When you look at the players that got Saddam Hussein to the lynching rope, the United States government, and they turned them over to people that the United States government has described as lawless, murderous, awful people. So our government turned Saddam Hussein over to these people, and then when you watch the film of the execution, Saddam Hussein is the person that, during the execution, was the person that was the most
dignified, yes.
the most lawful.
Mm-hmm.
Saddam Hussein was the person that was also the person that wasn't wicked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at that, I thought it was a wonderful thing. God does amazing things to allow people to see the energy that gets you to want an execution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because the people mm-hmm. that were there wanted an execution. And if you want executions, this is how you behave.
Right. And the vengeance motive is what really fuels execution and a state killing. And so it really was not about justice. And we saw that.
It was clear. It was inescapable.
It was inescapable. And thank goodness somebody had that cell phone there capturing it all. But, you know, the same thing happens here. It's a little bit more solemn, but the whole vengeance motive is still there. And
you see that exhibited in, while you won't see it in the room, because most of the time it's not going to be taped, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But where you see the slack-jawed, slobbering, rage-filled vengeance stuff are in papers, are in interviews of people that want people dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get to see mm-hmm. the vengeance of mm-hmm. it, because this is stripping up everything. It comes down to race and it comes down to vengeance.
Right. Absolutely. And I think we see more and more the role that the media can play in that regard. And the prosecutors also have play a big role in it as well. But, you know, the interesting piece about the whole vengeance thing is the whole closure that people are told that you will get
mm-hmm.
when we kill this person. And we've had people on this show say that's absolutely not the case. And they've had loved ones who've been murdered. So, you know, it's all for a few people to exert their power and control. It has nothing to do with justice. We're finding that out as we turn over again and again the criminal justice system to see all the flaws, all the failures, all the racist
motivations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way that you can go through that system unscathed and think that you're going to get justice. And then it reminds me, Liz, and I know you've heard the latest that they indicted the former San Francisco Black Panthers for a 71 murder of a police. Now,
but it goes, you know what, that ties beautifully into what Matt Blunt was asking for in his death penalty, because they said that we would not rest until we got the person who murdered this cop. But what is not told as part of this story is the arrest of these black men, irrespective of the arrest of these particular black men, the black men that they bludgeoned, the black men that they put their heads in bags and tortured to get a confession out of
mm-hmm.
for the murder of this cop. So have these same people that have said we're all about justice and want to get to the solving of this particular murder case, have you apologized for this? Have the black men that you tortured into a confession, have the case thrown out, have they been financially, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically compensated mm-hmm. for what you took, what you raped and took from them? This is about, there are certain peoples whose lives in this country will always have more value than anybody else, because I bet you there are a whole lot of dead black babies from that same time frame that they haven't busted a grape
to find the murderer of that person.
Oh, I can bet my life on that. I mean, if you look here, right here in St. Louis, where we have the case of Larry Griffin. We've been waiting for an investigation to close, and still nothing. And so it's just interesting at this particular point in time that the San Francisco former Black Panthers are indicted and arrested. It's just amazing. And some of these folks, Liz, are 55 to 70 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, you think that this is important enough for you to hound these people these many years and to now have them arrested and who knows what's going to happen to them now. So I just think that there's a...
And again, we have to go back to what they, the lies and the crimes that they committed to get some other, they would have been satisfied with the innocent people that they bludgeoned into and tortured into confession. They would have been not satisfied, satiated with that. So the fact that they have gone after these people when they had this major screw up with this other person, you're all suspect, because
right.
I know that you're about vengeance.
Right.
I know that you're about torture, and I know that you're about lawlessness. I don't trust anything that comes from you all.
Nothing. And even if these folks are still able to prevail, just think about the hardship, both emotionally, financially, and politically, that it's exacting on them and their families. I mean, I just think it's another form of torture, really. This weekend at the OBS anniversary celebration, it just so happens the main speaker is going to be a former Black Panther from Detroit. And, you know, I'm just anxious to hear what his take on this is, but this is a time where the repression, both abroad and at home, are escalating. And a lot of it has to do with the man in the White House and the particular laws that he's pretty much, you know, stripped the Constitution so that he could do a lot of these things. But
also, doesn't it, there's also that forever and ever psychological message out there is, don't you ever rise up against us. Don't you, because this is what we will do to you. There's that message
It's a hell of a psychological message. And it's one that we've been getting since we came to the shores of this country. You will never prevail. You will never win. Whether it's on TV or real life, you can never win. And so for Black men in particular, I think it's an extremely psychological and really psychological terrorism, really. That's what it is.
Mm. We'll be back. We'll be back. This is Justice for Reggie. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. For all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
If you find yourself fighting the back-to-work blues Sunday nights, try a different way to wrap up your weekend. The Bible Way. Tune into the broadcast from the Bible Way Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Sunday nights at 9:30 on AM 920 WGNU. the powerful preaching of Pastor Barclay Bailey and the inspiring music of the Bible Way Choir will give you a much-needed faith lift to help you start your work week. That's Pastor Barclay Bailey and the Bible Way Church broadcast Sunday nights at 9:30 on AM 920 WGNU.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. So, Jamala, we have this moratorium now. It's a lobbying day advocating for Missouri death penalty study and a moratorium on executions. People need to put it on their calendar. Tuesday, February 20th, the basement hearing room 3, State Capitol Building, 10:15 to 11:30.
And Tom Sullivan, who is the co-chairperson of the Illinois Moratorium Commission, is going to be the speaker, but he'll also be right here on Reggie Thursday, next Thursday.
Very good.
So we'll get a chance to hear the processes that they went through to come to the resolutions and recommendations that they have and how that's going in Illinois. So
okay, now if people want to participate in this moratorium now on Tuesday, February 20th, what time should they, who should they call to get on the bus? What time should they plan on leaving? Is this a whole day affair?
It's pretty much a whole day because it's a two and a half hour ride up there to Jeff City. And we'll start our proceedings at 10, and we'll finish up about 2:30, and then we'll head back to St. Louis. So they should call 361-3635, extension 31, and that's the ACLU. And we actually now decide on where the point of
departure
will be. But, you know, we can expect that we need to be there at 10:15, that we'll be leaving here between 7:30 and 8. But all of those details are being finalized, but you still can call and reserve your seat so that you make sure you have a seat. So we want to be part of some history here in Missouri. I mean, a lot of what's happening across the country, we are the ones that started shaking the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go ahead and finish the job that we started, that other people are picking up. And one of the things I forgot to tell you, Liz, about North Carolina is that not only are they wanting to stop the lethal injection piece, but they're also pushing, and I think they actually passed the policy that no medical person can assist in the death penalty. They can't even monitor the inmate to see if they're conscious.
Wow.
They are forbidden.
Wow.
So they're taking a page from Missouri, mm-hmm. with the anesthesiologist saying we're standing down, and they can't even, like, observe, watch, witness. They can't even be there.
And I hope to be able to, since I'm going to be on the air during this, to get some live reports on the trip.
Yeah, that
up
is
there.
A Thursday.
Okay, so let's. It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday.
Oh,
but I
yeah.
still would like to get some live reports from what's going on the trip up there. I think that would be helpful for people.
Absolutely.
To know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we're talking to people too, and after we finish getting their viewpoint on whether or not they will support a moratorium, then we'll definitely be calling that in. So, yeah, I think we're going to be ready. We're going to pounce on that Capitol, and we're going to rally the troops up there and let them know that we got to have a moratorium here in Missouri.
And that's Tuesday, February 20th. Now, Thursday, February 22nd, on Justice for Reggie Thursday, what do we have?
We have a documentary called Race to Execution that's about two death row inmates, and this is a pre-screening. And there'll be a panel discussion. We'll view the documentary, and it will be aired in March on a PBS channel. So if you don't get a chance to see it in the discussion, you'll get a chance to see it on air. But these are things that we really are trying to push, Liz, so that people understand all of the elements of the capital punishment and why we don't need it and how they can help. So there's going to be a number of groups who've been working to abolish the death penalty will be there. So if people want to get involved in any one of them, there'll be literature there. There'll be tables there for people to sign up. So,
or even if people just want to hear about it
exactly.
and to learn about
exactly.
it and to just be empowered with the knowledge of it, that is on February 22nd. And it's going to be at the Lee Auditorium at the History Museum?
Yes, and that's at Lyndall and DeVolliver in Forest Park. So we'll remind people again a couple of times. It's 7 o'clock.
And it's free.
It's free. It's free and open to the public. So here's a chance to find out. There will be folks on the panel who've been working in the death penalty, most of them. And we really want people to come and have a discussion and to see how we are going to continue in Missouri with trying to institute the moratorium.
And you're going to be moderating this.
I will be the moderator, yes.
Very
so I'm
so
looking forward to it.
February 22nd at 7 o'clock at the Lee Auditorium at the Missouri History Museum.
Absolutely. So, and we are, you know, still having our Justice for Reggie campaign meetings the second and fourth Mondays at 7 o'clock at the Rowan Community Center. And, you know, we are feeling very hopeful. I really think that coming out of 2006 with no executions, with the moratorium being introduced, Bill Deacon again wanting to be a part of that, you know, there's no reason why we can't make this happen here.
Absolutely.
There's no reason
absolutely.
Whatsoever.
And there's every reason why we must make it happen here.
We must make it happen. There's a number of people that are on death row that if this machine starts cranking up again, it's going to be going fast and furious. And so we really, and here's the thing, because we don't yet have a ruling from the Eighth Circuit on the Michael Taylor lethal injection challenge, we don't know when that might come down. And if it comes down and they decide that they want to still have the death penalty, they still want to, even if it's supervised by the court, if we have the moratorium, this will trump the ruling.
Mm.
So that's why I think we got to work really, 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 really hard, because if that comes and it comes before that session, legislative session ends, then we will have already made our mark and the moratorium commission will be on. So
and we have to take this moment, even though this is not a Justice for Reggie issue, we have to take a moment to remind people about the hearing that's coming up on Tuesday, because that's a very, very, very important hearing here in St. Louis.
Absolutely. And people need to get there early.
Yeah.
Not on time, early.
Early. And we're talking about the Desi is coming to town. Desi is coming to town to hear from us why we're in opposition to the state takeover and the nullification of our votes with the three-person appointed board to govern the St. Louis School Board. And the great thing about this, number one, is that everybody, you get there, you sign up, you get to speak. That's a good thing. And the second piece of it is that they're taking, if you have a written submission, they're going to take that too. So I would like to encourage everybody, even if you're planning on speaking or even if you're not, to walk into the auditorium with a statement to hand to Desi so that it will be, they will have it in their eyes and they will have it in their ears of why we are in opposition to this state takeover and the nullification of our vote with a three-person appointed board.
And this is important because your comments will become part of public record. And I would also encourage people who can't make it to find somebody who's going that would take their statement
Absolutely.
And make it part of the public record. So.
And if you can't find somebody that's going, find somebody to send. Send your representative to the meeting. If you can't make it, send a representative on your behalf. Have them have your statement, and then have them give their statement as well. I encourage teachers out there, people that know teachers out there, to have their students as an exercise, as an educational exercise, write a statement about should the state take over our schools, or what I love about my school. Have high school students or junior high school two students have a discussion about the nullification of their vote with the appointment of this three-person body. There are a number of teachable moments in this whole issue. And then when they write that down, take it to the meeting on Tuesday as well.
This is no reason why Desi should not know how we feel here
Absolutely.
In St. Louis about what's going on with our schools.
But the sad piece is that they don't already know. Okay, this is not, it's like they're coming to this new. We have been saying this for over 3 years, okay? That's the sad part, that Desi don't know what we think, what we want, what would make this thing right. We went up to Jefferson City, over 300 strong, and told Kent King at the time, don't give Roberti a waiver.
And he did.
And he did.
And now they want to take over the school.
And say, it's all messed up, and we got to punish you for what he did, what I let him do to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to punish the recipient of the crime for something that you allowed the perpetrator to do.
And that also is a teachable moment for children.
There you go.
You know, people who don't take responsibility for their actions.
There you go.
And cause harm to other people.
There you go.
So, people need to be out and show our power.
Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
Fill up that auditorium.
Absolutely. At Harris Stowe from 6 to 9 at the main auditorium. Jamala Rogers, thank you so
much.
We'll
see people on Tuesday night and then again on Thursday morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much. Talk to you. See you Tuesday.
Right.
All right. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air, tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Ford could be on the edge of financial ruin. The carmaker lost a lot of money last year, almost $13 billion, more than ever. Even with major job cuts and plant closings, Michael Robinette with industry analyst CSM Worldwide says it all comes down to the so-called legacy costs.
Health care benefits and retiree benefits from several years are very expensive, and they're looking to try and control those costs over the next couple of years.
Ford is at the start of its Way Forward plan with a goal of turning a profit by 2009. Senate Democrats are looking for more GOP support on a series of resolutions against the president's troop surge in Iraq, but the White House says they can pass all the resolutions they want. They're going ahead. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
Shortly after the Senate vote, President Bush sat down with his top generals.
Looking forward to discussion about the new way forward in Iraq.
The blunt response here at the White House is no, the Senate vote will not stop the troop deployment. The White House says the troop surge will work if given time. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
There was more violence in Iraq, a series of mortar attacks today near Baghdad's Green Zone, where the nation's government is located. No reported casualties. A car bomb, meanwhile, in a busy marketplace near the Iraqi capital earlier today killed at least three people. Some bad news from the parent company of TJ Maxx and Marshalls. Some people were affected by that security breach in stores last month.
The data stolen from the TJX companies by computer hackers has been used to make phony credit and debit card purchases in Florida, Georgia, and Louisiana, as well as overseas. The Massachusetts Bankers Association says the fraud may widen because fewer than half of their banks have reported on the issue. TJX has refused to say how many of its customers are affected.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is down 10 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is up 3 points. This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver Package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Only at your dealership. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
There could be more to those allegations against Reggie Bush than originally thought.
The attorney for Reggie Bush says he respectfully declines to comment on what he calls the media frenzy around his client. Yahoo.com has subpoenas issued by the U.S. attorney in San Diego for tape recordings. They were allegedly made by sports marketer Lloyd Lake, who Bush and his family claim is guilty of extortion. The report says the tapes show more than $250,000 in cash, rent, and gifts were given by Lake and others to Bush when he was at USC, so he would sign with Lake when he went pro. He didn't. If Bush did take the money, the NCAA could take away his Heisman Trophy. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Grand Forks, North Dakota, Chicago, and Kalamazoo, Michigan are good places to raise kids. They're among the winners in the group America's Promise Best 100 Communities for Young People. Grand Forks gave out 5,000 drug tests to parents over the past 2 years. Kalamazoo gives college scholarships to top students in public schools, and Chicago has 20,000 teens in after-school activities. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt is proposing an increase in state scholarship money. In his State of the State address last night, Blunt recommended $72.5 million for needs-based scholarships during the next school year, more than double the budget for the current school year. Blunt also said that state funding for higher education institutions would be linked to their performance on new state standards. He also proposed to cap tuition increases at the annual rate of inflation. Critics feel that Blunt's plan may not be legal unless state law is changed to specifically allow student loan agency proceeds to be used for campus buildings. Senate Democrats outlined an alternative yesterday that would still siphon money from the state student loan agency, but would use it for scholarships and loan forgiveness programs. Ameren's 10-year rate freeze in Illinois has ended. The freeze expired at the beginning of the year, and several customers say that what they were told about the scheduled rate hike was vastly underestimated. Ameren stands by its statement that Illinois customers will see increases ranging from 40 to 60%. The company is touting a customer-elect plan where customers can choose to phase in the rate increase over the next 3 years. Finally this hour, a local teenager was honored yesterday for his help in cracking the abduction case of Ben Ownby and Sean Hornbeck. 15-year-old Mitchell Holtz had spotted the truck that ultimately led to accused kidnapper Michael Devlin. Mitchell's parents took him to the auto show where he was given the keys to a brand-new Dodge Ram pickup truck. Mitchell will be able to drive his new truck at the end of next month when he turns 16. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's check out your traffic and your weather for this hour. Northbound 270 at Clayton and Page. Look for an accident. Looking at a southbound accident going on. So you've got stop-and-go traffic and southbound 270 between St. Charles Rock Road and Olive. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked south of Page, and it's causing some slowdowns there. Northbound 55 from Union through Bayless. There's an accident that's been cleared. One was at Union, the other's at Bayless, but you still are seeing residual slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Dorset through 70. Look for slow traffic in the right lanes. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge at Ramp is starting to ease up a bit. Northbound 270 from 44 through Big Bend. Look for some delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason, and then again from Spady through McKnight. Look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. You can expect some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny throughout the day, high in the mid-30s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. Friday, not quite as cool, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, colder with a high in the upper 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies. Our current temperature is sitting at 27 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 29. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can it listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can it listen? Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
can this matter? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in the city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal freedom.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake-Up Call. Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Ha, 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 ha. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I have a question for you. I have a question for you. Let's talk a little presidential politics here. Huh. One of the things that John McCain, he wants to be the next Republican president. John McCain says, when he's out on his political stump, you know, he's talking to folks out here, he says, I am older than dirt, and I have more scars than Frankenstein. That's what John McCain likes to say. It always gets a laugh. Now, I don't know if his mama likes it since she's 94 years old, and her twin sister doesn't like it either, but nevertheless, it gets him a laugh. And we have to also talk about the fact that he has a scar on the left side of his face where he had a malignant melanoma. Is it fair to raise the question of his health and John McCain's health and his age? Is it fair to raise that? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Let's talk about that and more when I get back. Stay with me.
Docs Harley Davidson presents the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. It's Speedway bikes and quads modified to compete on ice. Don't miss all the heart-pounding action as ice racing superstars Anthony British Bulldog Barlow, James Demolition Man, and Charlie the Edge Venegas go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds on nitro-burning two-wheel rockets with steel-studded tires and no brakes at all. Also, don't miss the wheel grinding action of the Unlimited Outlaw Quads. Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. Kids tickets are just $5. Get your tickets today at MetroTix outlets, online at MetroTix.com, or charge by phone at 314-534-1111. It's the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour. Brought to you by Doc Sarley Davidson. Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, This is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LaClean. Be there.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Earl.
I know, Liz.
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Great. The other night, the State of the Union address, the President made a statement about the situation in Iraq. Something like, we didn't answer it, but we're innocent. You remember that statement, something like that?
Earl, I need you to call back because it's really, your line is really, really scratchy, and it's hard for me to understand you.
Is it better now?
No.
Okay.
Call back and get another line.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. We have much business to talk about here. It is, I think that it is an instructive thing to take a look at the words that everybody has used in these last few recent days. I'm talking about the words that people have used to talk about the State of the Union, the words that came out of George W. Bush's mouth for the State of the Union address, the words that came out of the mouth of Senator Jim Webb in response to Bush's State of the Union address, the words that have come out of the mouth of Baby Boy Blunt for his State of the State address, the words that have come out of the Democratic response. I know that we have Jay Nixon, who responded to Matt Blunt. We had Maida Coleman respond to Matt Blunt's State of the State. And if I may, I would like to start with what Senator Webb from Virginia said in response, because I think that it is critical that we understand that things have changed. I'm not saying that things are completely changed. I'm not saying that we don't have any further to go. I'm not saying that the buck has stopped here now that the Democrats have the majority. There is still a lot of work to be done. So, having said that, I still believe that it is important to underscore as evidence of the changing, at least the changing war of words that takes place in Washington, D.C. Here's what Jim Webb, Senator Jim Webb, who beat the macaca man in Virginia, said. It would not be possible in this short amount of time to actually rebut the president's message, nor would it be useful. Let me simply say that we in the Democratic Party hope that this administration is serious about improving education and health care for all Americans and addressing such domestic policies and priorities as restoring the vitality of New Orleans. In this six-sentence paragraph, Jim Webb has spoken volumes and created a clear compare and contrast between what George Bush said in his entire 55-minute speech. Education, improving education and health care for all Americans, and addressing domestic priorities as restoring the vitality of New Orleans. Domestic priority, New Orleans. Nowhere in the thousands and thousands of words, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of letters, did any of those letters or those words come together to create the words New Orleans? He said bupkis about New Orleans. Huh. Jim Webb went on to say that further, this is the seventh time the president has mentioned energy independence in his State of the Union message. But the first time this exchange is taking place in a Congress led by the Democratic Party. We are looking for affirmative solutions that will strengthen our nation by freeing us from our dependence on foreign oil. And if I could just take a moment to digress from that. You know what another benefit in freedom from our dependence on foreign oil. You know another benefit of that? And I wonder if any of you have thought about this. We would not be bombing Somalia right now if we had a freedom from dependence on foreign oil. We would not have gone in and destroyed the cobbled together governmental structure that was holding Somalia together. People would not be dead in Somalia right now if we did not have a dependence on oil. We would not be spending billions of dollars a month in this war in Iraq if we didn't have a dependence on foreign oil, because we manifest our dependence by taking oil from other countries. That's what we do. So think of all of the people's lives. If you just focus on Americans, then think of all the American lives that would be saved if we didn't have this dependence. If we did not engage in actions to make certain that our need for foreign oil is not met, where could those trillions of dollars have gone if we did not have a dependence on foreign oil? So I don't know what better evidence of a reason why we must disconnect from our dependence. We must truly work on an independence from foreign oil. Then all of the hundreds of thousands of deaths in Iraq and the thousands of American deaths and the trillions of dollars that we have spent in Iraq, we wouldn't be there but for the oil. So if we weren't hooked on the stuff, we wouldn't have told somebody else's stuff up, looking for what we fiending for. Do you hear me? Earl. +1 877 920 WGNU. I want to say this that wages and salaries, this is what Jim Webb said, wages and salaries for our workers are at all-time lows as a percentage of national wealth, even though the productivity of American workers is the highest in the world. Medical costs have skyrocketed. College tuition rates are off the charts. Our manufacturing base is being dismantled and sent overseas. Good American jobs are being sent right along with them. In short, the middle class of this country, Our historic backbone and best hope for a strong society in the future is losing its place at the table. Our workers know this through painful experience. Our white-collar professionals are beginning to understand it as their jobs start disappearing also. They expect rightly that in this age of globalization, their government has a duty to insist that their concerns be dealt with fairly in the international market. Do you hear the difference, the compare and the contrast, between Boy George's State of the Union and the Democratic response? Listen to this picture that Jim Webb painted. I want to share with all of you a picture that I've carried with me for more than 50 years. This is my father when he was a young Air Force captain flying cargo planes during the Berlin airlift. He sent us the picture from Germany as we waited for him back home. When I was a small boy, I used to take the picture to bed with me every night because for more than 3 years, my father was deployed, unable to live with us full-time, serving overseas or in the bases where there was no family housing. I still keep it to remind me of the sacrifices that my mother and others had to make over and over again as my father gladly served our country. I was proud to follow in his footsteps, serving as a Marine in Vietnam. My brother did as well, serving as a Marine helicopter pilot. My son is joining the tradition now, serving as an infantry Marine in Iraq. Like so many other Americans today and throughout our history, we have served and we serve and have served not for political reasons, but because we love our country. We trust on political issues, those matters of war and peace, and in some cases of life and death. We trusted the judgment of our national leaders. We hoped that they would be right, that they would measure with accuracy the value of our lives against the enormity of the national interest that might call upon us to go into harm's way. We owed them our loyalty as Americans, and we gave it. But they owed us sound judgment, clear thinking, and concern for our welfare, and a guarantee that the threat to our country was equal to the price we might be called upon to pay in defending it. The president took us into this war recklessly. That's some deep stuff. That's some deep stuff. Those are the words of Senator Jim Webb in response to Bush's State of the Union address. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 McLean. Be there.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Was it time you let me know what's real and going on below? But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You know what? I have a couple of things I need to do, and I was remiss in not doing it earlier this week. I have a copy of one extra copy of the teaching edition of Charlotte's Web. So I'd like to do this, Howard, if we have a second here. Can we do this? I'd like to take the sixth caller to 454-6660, 454-6660, and have a copy of the, who would like a copy of the teacher's edition of Charlotte's Web. So give me a call at 454-6660 and be the sixth caller, and you will have a copy of Charlotte's Web teaching edition. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And don't forget, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And long distance me at 1-877-920-WGNU. We have our winner. We have our winner. Please stop calling, but congratulations. And Howard will let me know who the winner is in just a moment. But I want to get back to a conversation that we're having about the health of John McCain and if it is fair to ask the question of, concern ourselves with his age and his health. I think it is. It is. We live in a society that does not value age. And that doesn't value the wisdom that comes from age. If you can just look at, listen to, and read how the conversations about age are played out in our society. All the senior citizens are going to be draining the society when the baby boomers turn 60. Society is going to have an onslaught, and we're going to be paying for the cost of their aging. I mean, that's how it is viewed, and that's how it's described in this country. We don't teach our kids to value age. This is a youth-driven society, and we are not pushing positively about age, the value that age brings to our nation. So I don't want to get caught up in what is really a cultural phenomenon here in the United States, that it's not about, we don't value age and wisdom. We don't do that. And we don't connect the two and value that as wonderful contributions to making our society a better place. We don't do that. So let's say that. And having said that, I ask the question, is it fair to say that because John McCain is 70, we should raise the question of his age as a reason why he should not be the president of the United States? We all know that John Kennedy became president at 43, the youngest person ever elected president. 43 years old. 43. He was president of the United States. And John F. Kennedy talked about, so age was, that was cool. But we have to remember that even though John F. Kennedy described his health as he had plenty of vigor, the fact of the matter is that he was hugely unhealthy. Kennedy was sick from the age of 13 through the rest of his life. He was on chronic pain medication throughout his presidency. He had Addison's disease. What's that? An endocrine disorder that, until 1940, was a terminal illness. The only reason Kennedy survived it is because he had cortisone injections that only the wealthy at that time could afford. He was a textbook. It's a wonder how he got out of bed every morning. He was an amazingly unhealthy person. So should we really be focusing on the age or the health? Or should we even be focusing on either one? He was president, and he was completely unhealthy. He was never healthy. So what should we do? There are plenty of rumors that are all around John McCain and his health. Should we make our candidates release their medical and psychiatric records? Would we have enough time to read all of the psychiatric records of George Bush? Would it take us the full 4 years of his term to get through all of them? Should we make the candidates release that? One 877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. You want to long distance me, toll free? Do it at 1-877-920-WGNU. Sam.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
The situation with the minimum wage bill that was passed, it deals with the fire department crying foul because it was passed and that they would have to pay the people this time and a half and stuff. Have they been able to go back towards the legislators and get them to change that there where they wouldn't have to pay this?
Yet? I don't. What fire departments? Was this state or city?
The county fire. They're the ones clowning about.
Well, okay. Make it clear for me. I don't know what. Make it clear what you're talking about.
Okay. The county firefighters have decided that when the legislation for the minimum wage was passed, it would cost them more money. Some of the departments might have to go out of business. It would cost them jobs.
Why?
Why? Because they didn't want to pay this time and a half. This meant that what they're doing now, they're even cutting back hours on some of the people.
How does it work? Please explain. How does it work that they would lose money on a person? Tell from their position, what are they saying?
Oh, because they're having to pay this extra money.
How does that work?
You know, when you work a 40-hour week, they're talking about if that person had to stay over or carry over for another day or whatever, you know, you always get paid that time and a half after you do your 40 hours. And they're concerned that this would start taking money out of their pockets that they would have to pay to these employees, and they don't want to do that.
Wait a minute. How many minimum wage employees do they hire?
They don't have any. That's what I'm saying. They don't have any, and they're concerned about the minimum wage being raised to $6.25 or whatever Missouri is going to raise it to, and they want to stop the legislation so they won't have to pay the increase to the folks that work for them. It really has nothing to do with the people at the bottom. That's what scares me.
But I really, honest to goodness, I don't understand how the minimum wage, if they don't have minimum wage employees, how could a change in the minimum wage law impact them? What are they saying? I don't understand.
Well, Liz, this was brought out on the news, and it's been out there for a month or so.
Okay,
and
I still don't understand it.
Huh?
I still don't understand it. So
I mean, they're crying foul because the citizens were the ones that wanted the minimum wage raised.
Well, give me an example from their perspective of how this works that they have to pay more money.
What they're saying, I mean, it would cost them that overtime. This is basically...
How? How does the minimum wage?
I'm not quite sure how it works.
Then that's the answer that I need. Then you don't know how they're saying.
It works,
okay.
But I'm just saying they're crying foul because the people. I mean, you know, why did we vote for it if we didn't want it? And now you got people who are against it, and they're trying to get the legislators to. I mean, and when your legislative people call that's up in Jeff City, they can tell you what they're trying to do, and it's not fair to the people who are waiting for that increase. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'm going to say some things, and I hope that you give me some information about it. I'm old enough that I have endured the oppression of Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Nixon, Reagan, Clinton, and Bush. And every one of them has never stepped up to the table or measured up to the expectations of the people. So I'm suggesting something, and it's not tongue-in-cheek, that we either have a lottery to select the president or we do like they select the Dalai Lama in Mongolia, because I think we stand a better chance to pick out of the American community.
Well, how do they select the Dalai Lama?
Well, I think it has something to do with the moment he's born.
Okay.
And so Genghis Khan once said that when one of his leading generals was killed in battle, they said, how are you going to replace him? And he said, that's easy. He said, the first enlisted man that walks by, I'll put a general's uniform on him, and he'll behave and act and function as a general. I think that you could select at random anybody in America, anybody, I mean anybody, that would do a better job than the people that I have endured for the last 60 years.
So you think George Wallace would do a better job than anybody that's been up there?
Oh, no, not George Wallace. I mean any average American.
Ah.
Well, he couldn't do worse.
I don't know. You think that George Wallace would have passed the Civil Rights Bill?
Oh, well, of course not. But
would you say that
George Wallace was worse than Bush?
Nope. But he still wouldn't do a number of things that were done under force. So I don't know. I mean, I feel your pain. I truly do. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
And I think that there just needs to be a process where you can only spend $2 million to run for presidency.
Yeah.
You get the $2 million from the government. And think of how many people would run and what great choices we would have.
Yeah.
Got to roll. Taking a break.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on down to Sears. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. They have wonderful customer service, wonderful selection, and a wonderful location. I'm Liz Brown. When you get to Sears, tell them I told you to.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede. Be there.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about, and we really only have about 10 minutes to get it done. So that's a big charge. So let's handle our business out here. Bill.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I have a comment. I work late until the evening. I get a chance to watch sports at nighttime. And I've been following the Australian Open with Serena Williams come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding. But what it doesn't amaze me, it's only food for the palate of for America, is how people, whenever she plays outside of the country and in the country, everybody hates her and she's an American, but 99% of the people that she play are foreigners. See what I'm saying?
No, say that again.
The 99% of the people that she plays outside of the country and in the country are foreigners.
Okay.
They're not American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like most 99% of the time, the people are rooting for her an opponent who is not an American.
So what I'm saying
is that with this overarching emphasis on American patriotism in the last 5 or 6 years, it doesn't bode well for black people, African people in America, to be a part of that nationalism.
Race trumps all.
Exactly, race trumps all. And then they had the one young woman from Russia. She says, "Oh no, there's no way that I would be an American citizen." But they make their money over here. I think it should be quadruple tax when they make statements like that. You know what I mean? But it's the same thing with Tiger Woods. You know, I think out of the top 50 golfers in the world, the top 25 are foreigners. Out of the top 50, only about 7 or 8 are Americans. Now, you know who the top golfer is Tiger, but nobody likes Tiger. You know, he wins all the time.
Oh, no, I would say that what has the embrace, that Tiger has been embraced by Americans. Okay, I would say that Serena and Venus have not. And I disagree with that assessment of Tiger.
I stand corrected. But the thing with, I just think that when African people are entitled to whoever they want to focus on.
Right.
But sometimes when you get into the entertainment, Venus and her sister, those are two beautiful young black women.
Yeah, they
I
are.
Think we should always stand up for those young women.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree with
day,
you.
Dear.
Take care of yourself. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
During the president's speech the other night, when he was trying to make his point for more troops going to Iraq, he said something about, we didn't enter the war, but we're in it. You remember that statement or something?
We're not safe, but we're safer.
No, he said something like, we didn't enter the war, but we're in it.
I'm making a comparison to another insane statement that he made. We're not safe, but we're safer. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he started this war. What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. No. It's deeper than that, Earl. It was a preemptive strike. So you can't get more entering into anything when you start the first blow.
Responsibility. Like he's...
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did nothing wrong. I mean, everything's okay. It's, I don't get it.
Yeah, you do. This is a presidency and this is an administration that never takes responsibility for anything. Why do you think Scooter Libby is being tried right now with a federal prosecutor? Because this administration did not take responsibility for its act to punish somebody who told the truth about the fallacy of this war and the fact that we were being lied to. You know, so we do. I mean, these are the types of people in the administration that we have. They will lie to us to have their way.
Also, what does he mean about use less gas? What is he talking about? He wants us to use less gas.
Well, I guess maybe he just means stop driving to these doggone protests. Maybe that's the way. Maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, I think what the guy was talking about earlier about the fire department was... something to the degree where that it's going to change their shifts. If they work over 8 hours, they have to get paid overtime through that policy with the minimum wage. It's tagged along with that. You know how they tag stuff along with other bills? And that's the reason why the fire department don't want the minimum wage. It's not because they're minimum wage. It's because the fire department can't afford to pay them overtime after 8 hours because they have 24-hour shifts.
So the minimum wage within the legislation and the wording of the minimum wage law is that after 8 hours you have to pay, or 8 hours is a full day, and after 8 hours you have to pay overtime? Is that
right?
Okay.
Right. You know, just like a regular job.
Okay.
Like the fire department, they got a flat base pay for 24 hours. You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
okay.
He was close, but he wasn't all the way there.
Okay. Well, then I get that. I get that.
I knew he had a hard time with it. What made me call, because I knew he had a hard time with what he was trying to say. But that's what it is.
Okay. So, okay. All right. Thanks for your call.
I got one more little small point.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We talk about, like the two coaches, the two black coaches playing football and all that.
Right.
I think black people feed into what the white folks do with that prejudiceness. And the reason why I say that is because, to me, it's two really good coaches playing in the Super Bowl. You know, and that's it. But, I mean, the white folks throw out, okay, there's two great black Americans playing in the Super Bowl, and we bite on to that. Yeah, I want this black coach to win, you know.
But what is wrong with taking ownership in the fact that it's taken to the year 2007 for there to be two black coaches, and it took to what, 1990 something, or for there to be a black coach in football? What is wrong with African people celebrating that and insisting that the world pay attention to that?
Maybe because I don't think nothing's wrong with that.
Okay.
See, I got an opinion of I'm not really I just don't like feeding into, with that race deal. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I guess I need you to define your terms. What is feeding into that race thing mean? What does that mean?
Well, to me, white folks in America has a lot of race issues, okay?
Okay. There's a lot of racism in America. Got it.
Right. Black people do, too. But I'm saying they really have a lot. And I think that they make every issue, because certain like programs I listen to on the radio, they make every issue in the world come somehow or another go down to race. You know what I mean?
White people do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think that white people, predominantly what you hear from the white community more often than not is it's not about race.
They try to make you think that it's not about race.
But wait a minute. Which one are you saying? Are they saying that it's all about race or that it's not about race?
Well, the ones I listen to, they do talk about race. And somehow or another, I could be listening to any sports program on other channels. I'm not going to name the channels. And somehow or another, they'll bring up, this black person did such. Well, when a white person in the a white person get called with marijuana, okay, they don't really say, oh, this white guy from this team get caught with marijuana. But if a black guy get caught with marijuana or whatever, let's say, this black guy from Cincinnati,
but
whatever,
surely,
you know, break it down to that.
Okay, surely you're not saying that when a white person makes an observation about race in order to continue a racist ideology that this is what they do because of their color is the same as black people saying, let us acknowledge the fact that we have something very powerful happening right now, and also let us discuss and deconstruct why it has taken this long in America for this to happen. You understand? In my mind, those are two completely different things.
It took so long because.
Well, I know, but we're not even going to have that part. But shouldn't we have that conversation? Why would we resist having that conversation out of concern of how other folks misconstrue the issue of race? I'm not going to stop talking about anything because somebody else screws it up.
I understand your point. I understand that. I understand that wholeheartedly, but it's just with me. That's my own personal deal. I'm saying lean into it,
embrace it. Don't worry about how someone else is getting it wrong. This is an important thing. This is a discussion that you should have with your children. You need to have a discussion with your children. Why is Coach Lovey being paid less than any other coach in the NFL? Why is that? Because of the color of his skin. Well, so we need to have that discussion. He's going to the Super Bowl. But no, it's not. No, never take it for granted that you know why. You got to tell the tale. You got to embrace the tale. You got to lean into the tale. Because if you don't tell it, then it's not going to be told, and people won't understand it for what it is. Know that. Tell it. I was a middle child only girl. I told. We're going to have that discussion about those two coaches, because why is he the lowest paid coach in the NFL?
Lovey Smith rocks.
Okay. Yes, he does. My name is Liz Brown. Yeah, that's some sports talk coming from me. Woo! Woo, it must be 2000. It must be 007. It must be a new year. Look, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening, and stay strong.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.